Welcome. This is the 4th of July edition of the Ask Alex. We are taking your questions in the Ask Alex group from Planet InfoWars. I'm here with our guest, Alex Jones. Alex, one of the questions comes to you from Girl Warrior. Pretty legit username. I heard from a friend that when you're not home, the utilities company can come by your house and have the authority to switch to the new smart meter without your permission. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, just like the federal government has the authority to ship guns into Mexico and hand grenades and cocaine back in, they don't have the authority. They just do it criminally. And that is exactly what is happening with the United Nations saying it commands our military now. That's what's happening with all of these power grabs, with the TSA, who aren't even sworn officers, out of their federal jurisdiction, groping people. That's what tyranny is just a giant power grab.
Doing what they want.
And that's what they're doing. And you know, first they lied and said the smart meters weren't going to be tracking us or controlling our temperature or interfacing with other appliances. Now they admit it. And a lot of jurisdictions and different municipalities, people have beaten the smart meters. So it's a propaganda name. It's a smart meter. You just tell the utility company
you don't want it,
and you get together with your city and tell them you're not going to have these systems. So people need to explain, hey, we're not against technology. We don't like the back doors and the dual use that all these things have.
And the mismarketing of it.
And then they're charging us for the products as well through our bills. You know, it's like a cell phone has all this tech in it to spy on us that we end up paying for as part of the cost. All of this stuff is having back doors built into it. The entire architecture of technology is to control populations.
Well, the next question actually comes to you from Travis, and he says, have we gotten to the bottom of who's responsible for chemtrails and geoengineering so we can ask them to stop? Is there some sort of, like, you can pinpoint it to this person, this company, this...
Well, it's the DARPA-controlled network of colleges and federal departments like the Department of Energy, these giant bureaucracies. They don't call it chemtrails in their documents, but they hide in plain view that, oh, we have semi-classified and classified programs about high-altitude aerosol programs. Mm-hmm. And then you can pull up articles where NASA says the Earth's 20-plus percent darker now because less sunlight's hitting us and all this news. It's hidden behind national security, but there's all these icebergs sticking up out of the water, showing us where larger structures are. And there are huge programs of geoengineering, as the White House science czar 3.5 years ago when they first got in office. John P. Holder admitted, oh, we're involved in a whole geoengineering changing our Earth's atmosphere. Bill Gates is involved in it. Spends billions, but it's all classified, or most of it's classified. And then because it's not called chemtrails, people always call and say, what about the chemtrails? I'm like, yeah, but they call them this, this, and that. And so it is under terms like geoengineering, this is really going on. What do you think about the fact that 20 years ago, condensation trails dissipated, and now they don't? And then there's the question, well, are there spray planes? Is it mixed into the jet fuel? 5 years ago, I said, let's look and see at patents for adding aluminum dioxide, barium salts, and other things into jet fuel so that the jet engines could dissipate nuclei to create cloud condensation.
And this thin layer.
And then sure enough, there's dozens and dozens. I'm being conservative. I don't want to say hundreds. That's how we self-censor. It's hundreds of patents. There's actually hundreds, but let's just say dozens and dozens. You can look them up. We've done news reports on them. Just type into the search engine. It's looking both ways, the NSA system, Google, or whatever system you use. It all wires to the same place in the end. Just type in patents for jet engines. Dispensing chemtrails, and it should come up. And of course, it won't say that in the test. It'll say patents for jet engines for weather modification to disperse it. But that'll get you to the documents.
Yeah. Well,
and then don't just believe the documents. Go to the U.S. Patent Office online, type it in, and there it'll be.
We have the right to look for those documents too, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes.
All right. Well, the next question actually comes to you from Free Hot Dogs. I'd like to ask whether or not you know about actively staffed FEMA camps in America. I know that you've done that shoot with Jesse Ventura where you guys saw the the black coffins, et cetera. But I happen to know that there's a FEMA facility in the Mexican farms in Maryland, and it's staffed and fully active. There are guards with machine guns posted at all times. They're guarding about 120 trailers that are all run down, and they're just crappy. And a large former hangar used to be a small airport. Anyway, so...
Person, if they, at their own risk, feel like doing it, they should go out there with the camera and take a bunch of pictures and get it to us. Yeah. Show the guards. I mean, I would pull up with my friends in a truck and say, what is this? And let them try to get in my face.
Right.
This is America.
Right.
And you'll learn if you grovel these people, they get in your face. But if you pull up and say, what is this? Start taping, they'll grovel to you, at least in most cases. Or sneak up, during the day in the bushes and get photos. Do it however you want. But yes, they have these old military bases, FEMA emergency centers, some of them staffed, some of them not. A lot of them, they're holding illegal aliens in. And that's what they said back in the 80s in Rex 84, that when they got ready to use them, they would prime them generally with a small, immigrant population just to, as kind of its operational cover, with them just waiting. And that's the Emergency Centers Establishment Act that came out in congressional hearings. It's the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program. Look that up. That's a cover for it. Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program. There's a bunch of these things going on. And it's admitted that for continuity of government, they have these. I mean, we got the Army document a few months ago that was about re-education centers. And the Army responded and said, yeah, that's our document. And, as for staffing them,
They
have no shame. As for staffing them, they, 6 months ago or so, there was the, on the federal websites, they were putting out the bids for companies to be on standby as managers waiting to activate camps with personnel within 72 hours. Or was it 74 hours? Whatever it was. You can look it up.
Right.
So, but then it's FEMA emergency centers. But then it says barbed wire, berms, security. It's obviously a prison in the little bit of data that's there.
Why would they keep in, like you said, they were doing it with illegal immigrants as kind of a test. Why would they do that? I mean, why wouldn't they just ship them back where they were coming from?
Because they hold them there while the immigration lawyer stuff's going through and things.
Okay.
But it's just a perfect way to prime the pump. I mean, in Ventura's TV show, I took him out to the FEMA Center, Department of Homeland Security, with the flag and all that, with the playground.
Well,
I mean, it had little kids running around
out
at the playground, and then they took it to the congressman. He goes, oh, there are no children. Those are Martians coming down out of the sky. And Ventura's like, no, this is a bill, and I've been out to some of the camps. And the guy went, oh, I do remember those camps. He was from Tennessee, but he had like a Georgia accent. And people can watch it online. And then Ventura goes, but I saw kids. He goes, they were probably very happy children. And it was just like, and it was so weird that Homeland Security freaked out because it really showed their normal arrogance didn't work right. And it kind of clicked the wrong way. Right. So they threatened to have it, people basically, arrested. And so they pulled it off television.
Yeah, and out of your TiVos and all that.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
This next question actually comes to you from Freedom Spear, and it says, this is about how language is used to enslave us, which I thought was a great intro. I never hear the elite refer to themselves as human or being part of mankind. Gender aside, isn't it true, since we are men, that being called Hugh, which is a shade, and men being, human, making up human, is part of the eternal and shared goal that the agenda of the elites throughout history to separate themselves from the rest of us. It's amazing to me that the term human is actually synonymous with caring or kindness. People say things like, where's your humanity? What? That's so nice of you. That's so human of you. Am I onto something, or is this just delusional gibberish?
Well, what separates man from the animals is that we can manipulate and change our own environment, and humanity is seen as reaching towards being kind, compassionate, loving, things like that, instead of being barbarous like the animals. Primitive man noticed that the animals were, vicious and very mean to each other, and it was dog eat dog. And so humanity is about building a civilization where things that are beautiful and pure and scientific can flourish, instead of going back to barbarism. And so it seemed we're reaching towards humanity out of the, bloody slime that is warfare and all of that. And the globalists do see it as refined, that they're cold-blooded and survival of the fittest, social Darwinist, who think it's good to be cruel and horrible and have romanticized barbarism. That is a more modern idea. So it shows how they are agents of dehumanization.
Have you ever noticed that yourself, like listening to them to speak? They never refer to them like that. I have not. I don't think I've watched enough to say yes or no one way or the other, but it was a curious point he made.
Well, definitely the ruling class and their minions understand they're programming the public. So everything they do is basically acting. Mm. But I have noticed some of what the person raises.
Interesting. This next one comes to you from Loretta. She says, Alex, since Obama's arrogant and he has an immigration policy and it's up to his discretion, which you've referred to as treasonous, why don't we suggest to Dr. Paul that during his closing days of his term in Congress that he start impeachment processing?
Well, that's the issue. I didn't just get mad at Rand Paul 3-4 weeks ago over the fact he endorsed Mitt Romney. I get all the Ron Paul literature because I've given money to Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Campaign for Liberty. My family has, so I get all the literature. And it was just kind of keeping this whole thing going that, oh, we're still going to win. Oh, yeah. You know, let's be really strong into the convention. While Rand was out giving speeches and even on my show saying, yeah, it pretty much is over. And you know, I'd be honored if I was asked for VP. So then I watched the fact that, you know, there was, you know, basically two messages that were going out to everybody. And I'm not criticizing the Pauls. I mean, you know, they're great on the Second Amendment, national sovereignty, Federal Reserve. They're great people. It's just that they'd always been so pure and not about politics and just so straight up. You could see a transition's happening as Ron Paul gets ready to pretty much retire and maybe, you know, write books, give a few speeches. He's run a long race. Who'd blame him?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised he can see straight.
Yeah, he's 70-something.
76. I mean, I'm exhausted up here taping this right now. I'm 38 years old. So I'm not here judging. It's just that I've seen a lot less, you know, hardcore stuff coming out. And I would have liked to see, you know, Ron Paul pushing for actual impeachment. I would have liked to seen Ron Paul getting more aggressive now when he had all this political capital. And instead, it's all being kind of put into Rand being given respect by the Republican Party power structure.
Do you think maybe that was his reasoning for not doing it, to help his son in a way?
I mean,
all speculation, I know.
Well, no, I mean, his political advisors have said a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they've said, oh, we got to endorse Romney. The Republicans will like us then. Well, why didn't your dad just support the wars then if you want mainline Republicans to like you?
Right.
So it's just a changing, of course. I mean, they still stand for good things. It's just the old Ron Paul did not endorse McCain. And you know, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And people say, well, this is his son. This isn't Ron Paul. But Rand Paul was sold to us that he was like his dad.
Exactly.
And they use, you know, that Campaign for Liberty list and all that to support him. And I like Rand Paul. He's fighting the TSA. He's fighting expanding, you know, some of these wars. He's fighting a whole bunch of issues. It's just that he's compromising a lot more than his father. And if he continues to compromise down the road, there is a major change, of course, there. And so people say, hey, wouldn't it be great if Ron Paul did this? Wouldn't it be great if Ron Paul did that? Yeah.
People put a lot of faith in one person, though. I mean, I see that over and over just on Planet InfoWars. People are constantly asking, Alex, can you sign my petition? Alex, can you do this? Alex, can you give me this suggestion? I think it's just human nature. We want to just support one person. It's the little things that we do, we forget about, that we can make a difference.
Exactly. People think there's like some magic bullet, silver bullet that's going to do it all, when it's a process. I mean, people have to get back to basic understanding of how government works and then not put up with it.
Right.
And then get angry and go into city council and the legislatures and everywhere and say, listen, crooks, we know what you're doing. That's the only thing that has any hope. And the system knows we're going that direction. That's why they're openly arming to the teeth in a huge military buildup against us. I mean, this is real tyranny. You know, we use that word tyranny, tyranny, tyranny. But I mean, this is it. And the globalists are precipitating this collapse. And I think a lot of people, including the Pauls, are just circling their wagons. Because what's happening is so big and so dangerous and so volatile, and so much of the public is totally in la-la land, that I understand the allure of meeting with Mitt Romney and him saying, oh, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and hey, I'm not Obama, so hey, let's support you. Yeah, the Republicans are going to save us. But the Republicans are bought and paid for by the very same interest that gave us Barack Obama. And nowhere do you see that being more closely aligned than all this criticism of Obama and his horrible government takeover plan, much of which came from Mitt Romney. People say, well, you know, he wouldn't have the IRS enforce it. Whatever. The point is that... Is that
potato, potato.
Exactly. There's so little difference, but I'm going on and on here.
I like it. I like getting you to go on and on. This next question actually comes to you from Anouk. I think I'm saying that right. What do you think is the role of my royal shell queen Beatrice in the New World Order / Bilderberg? After Bilderberg, she was visiting Turkey, and the Dutch press don't even mention it.
Well, the Dutch royal family sued the Associated Press a few years ago because they were down in South America, I think on the Brazilian coast, riding jet skis around their yacht right off the coast. And they were saying...
In like a public space?
Yeah, they were saying the AP should not be able to photograph us. It's just pure arrogance.
Ugh.
They have all this PR, how she's a nice old lady, rides bikes. And
does she have an ice cream cone too?
Yeah, well, I was about to say, Warren Buffett's got an ice cream cone. I mean, real tyrants... She owns most of Dutch Rothschild, part of BP. Her dad was a big Nazi and big globalist eugenicist with Prince Philip setting up the World Wildlife Fund so they could, you know, have, you know, use it as a smuggling front for, you know, smuggling animals. I mean, it's just everything you see with them, it's the opposite.
Mm.
And her dad founded Bilderberg along with Joseph Rettinger. So I'm pronouncing that right. But... Yeah, people ask, what's her role there? I mean, she's right at the top of it. And she's, you know, she's related to Queen Elizabeth. I mean, this is the ruling class. These are the people who have this whole oligarchical system that they've built.
Where did you find out that her dad founded Bilderberg? I mean, just for people that want to find out themselves.
Sure. Those documents have been leaked. The BBC's reported on it.
Okay.
Their first official meeting they had it under other names was in 1954 in Oosterbeek, Holland.
Okay.
We've gotten the private papers of U.S. senators that we've published and leaked, but, I mean, it's not debated. Bilderberg itself, since it's been forced out in the public in the last decade or so, is, I mean, admitted a lot of this. But, I mean, Queen Beatrix, I mean, we've gotten the list before. I mean, she's, you know, kind of like the grand poobah of it.
Well, I hope that answers your question, Anouk. All right, this next one comes to you from Ronan for Liberty. And he says, here is why I haven't heard you talk about, Alex, the superconductor in Waxahachie, Texas, about 30 minutes outside of Dallas that closed down many years ago, has been used for anti-terrorist training for a few years now. And part of the underground tunnel was built but never finished. So who knows what else they do down there, or even that they've stopped digging. We don't know. I know you mentioned a few weeks back some underground bases, places like Mount Weather. Do you have any comments on former superconductors or what's going on or any knowledge of what's there?
No, we're moving to hire more reporters so we can cover things like that. But I think it was 8 years ago or so up in Waxahachie that it was in the news that they completed more than half of a giant underground loop for the superconducting super collider. And that they did turn it into a giant anti-terrorism underground training base, which is actually a good place to do it.
Yeah.
Instead of all these military drills, we don't have anywhere to train. We just got giant bases everywhere. You know, Fort Hood, 5, 6, 7 times the size of Dallas-Fort Worth. But we've got to drive through your town and do live fire exercises at 2 a.m.
Right.
It's to acclimate the troops, the police, the public to having military. And now the Secretary of the Army has said that. Hey, they want to put a brigade in every city, 4,000-plus troops. So, yeah, a private company leased it. And I even meant to go do a report on it, but back then didn't have any reporters. But Waxahachie's up there. We should try to call them and get in there and see it, because it'd just be neat to go into those caverns.
Yeah.
Regardless. But yeah, it's just south of Dallas, Waxahachie, Texas. And indeed, I did cover that a long time ago. But I suggest, you know, sometimes we say we want to go into things and people are scared of us.
Yeah.
It's InfoWars.com. Maybe folks should call themselves citizen journalists. You know, start a website, start doing 10, 15 reports on local politics news.
Yeah.
That's basically your cover, you know, that you really are journalist. And by cover, the fact that you're a patriot, but now you are a local journalist, and now you have a way to get into things. You know, get into football games free. you know, you're part of the press. Make a little press pass up. Call them. Get on the list. Get into political events. Go take photos. Post them. Run stories. Might end up at Infowars.com.
Absolutely.
Or DrudgeReport.com or who knows where, WorldNetDaily.com.
That's a great point you make, writing articles and things like that. That's exactly why Planet Infowars is around. It's so people can write articles. And in fact, we've just started via you putting these on Infowars.com, the main page. So if you write a good article, I'm watching, my fellow moderator, Lewis, is watching. We're trying to do exactly that, post things, spread the word, little local stuff.
Sure. I mean, because it needs to get to the point, it's already started with all the big cities and a lot of small towns where you can go in there. And that's one thing we got to work on is the search engine. I keep meaning to tell them that because, you know, it's got it for privacy.
Huh? Like make it more refined, kind of?
I don't know. It's just that sometimes, we're in beta, but we want your suggestions. It's just that sometimes I search stuff even in Google. And like, even though it's the NSA, even though it's horrible, we probably need to have a link to that or explain to people that, you know, you can use this to find really, you know, really refined stuff in there. But I'm brainstorming. It doesn't matter. The point is you can go in, search, find groups in your area, and then just do it. People are like, well, I want to fight, you know, the New World Order. Well, call yourself press. Yep. Go out and do reports. Whether it's a video report, text report, photos, whatever, just start reporting on what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And planetinfowars.com is a great place to do it.
I actually, this next question is more, it is about kind of local situation. It's actually from several users, Lightningfoot, Nick, Kevin, those are just to name a few. They've all been asking about Colorado, it's on fire, and other areas. What do you think? The government may be fueling these somehow? Do they have the ability to play with our weather system to make this happen? I mean, we all
know. Yeah, that goes back to the chemtrail question.
Right?
And I have news for you. I am going to Colorado.
I have not
even announced this. 3-4 months ago, I promised my son that I would take him to Colorado because he's been reading about it and wants to go there. And also, there's all this hysteria and fear over 5-6 fires. It's like when you have fires in Dallas, do you leave Texas? I mean, you know, the reason it's such big news is that they're lined up by Boulder, by Denver, and by Colorado Springs, all in one line. But here's the state square, and there's a couple fires from Denver down to Colorado Springs, and there's a couple here in the south and one in the middle. And I will never get within about 100 miles of the fires.
Probably wise.
And my grandmother's like, oh, my God, don't go to Colorado. Well, the news is showing you where the fires are, and so there's no perspective. You know, it's like, get off planet Earth. There's Aboriginal natives in New Guinea that will eat you. And it's like, but it's all the way over there. I mean, it, you know, it's 10,000 miles away. Well, as far as fires are, if you're 100 miles away from one,
I think you're pretty in the clear.
I mean, here's an example. They had really bad fires and a bunch of Bastrop burned. And then where I live outside Austin, there was fires like, you know, 6-7 miles away. And sometimes you could smell the smoke But I mean, and family's like, well, should we get out of here? And it's like, no, you know, if the fires come toward us, we have like 3-4 escape routes. It's not like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. You know, fires are going to get us. But yes, while I'm there now, I can report, check out any, you know, chemtrail action for people. But I'm going because, you know, some of my family was like, oh my God, you can't go. And I'm like, watch, I'm going to go. And the real danger is driving down the road. You know, that's statistically one of the number one causes of death. It's not the fires. I think a couple people have died, and it's terrible if you're who died, but, right. You know, hundreds of thousands die a year in car accidents. So what's dangerous is car accidents, not the fires.
But this one of the users actually said, remember when you were talking about the Russian troops in Colorado? Do you think there's a tie-in at all?
They did have Russian troops to do some drills out there, which was unprecedented to have them publicly doing it. But no, I listen. There's always been big prairie fires. That's always happened. It's part of regeneration. Lightning always caused it. The difference was now when there is lightning strikes, they go and put it out. So the big fires never get going to burn out all the dead wood. And they don't let people cut down fire breaks on the highways of old dead wood. They don't let them clean out these forests, so that's making it a lot worse. So there's a lot of things, but there's always been fires.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Al Gore is on the news saying, look, there's fires, pay me money now. The sea levels are rising. That's why I just bought a big palace on the ocean.
Right.
We're all dead. It's over. Things like that aren't the issue. Fukushima blowing up, that's an issue. And them saying radiation is not a problem. Or GMO food we're eating every day, or fluoride in our water,
right.
Or vaccines and autism from 25,000 to 1 in 58. That's the statistically, but again, everybody, like I said, scared when they go swimming, the shark's going to get them.
Right.
I mean, I got to admit, I could be swimming around a lake and I'm like, I wonder if a crocodile's down there, even though there aren't crocodiles around
you're
here.
You're a little curious, like, here, crocky.
Well, no, I mean, you know, you ever gone and jumped in a lake by yourself? You're swimming.
Oh, yeah.
You're kind of like,
eh. I should have. So, thought twice.
Well, no, but it's real clear, and there's like an old, you know, submerged log or something. It looks like something. You're like, what is that? You know, or you turn, there's like a, one time I was swimming around in the lake. I like to go out to the lake and swim. It was real still. And I looked over and it was about an 8-foot alligator gar. And let me tell you, that was creepy because it looks like a sea monster going through the water.
Oh yeah.
And they've got big, long, a lot of teeth, but they don't attack humans. Unless it's accidental. There's a few cases of people out in a float and their fingers. And their pals like a giant barracuda.
No, I'm good.
Anyways.
I'll stay on the raft. All right. The next question comes to you from Timothy. And he references Rwanda in 1994. The Tutsi people, 800,000 decry law. They told them they had to register their guns, their ammunition, everything.
And then they murdered them.
And then they murdered
them. And the UN sat around and helped do it. And then it was on our news that the UN was over there helping. But it later came out the UN was slaughtering them because they were the ruling class and they wanted to take their property.
Well, his question is, is that what it's looking like it's going to be here?
Yeah, the globalists would like a total collapse re-education type deal here. But there's so many guns, they're not going to get away with it.
Good. Good. Nice answer. All right. This last one is really to end it off. Thank you, Christopher. This comes to you. It says, are you coming to the Grove this year? Referencing Bohemian Grove. And he says, let me know. I go there often and I may be able to help if you and others attend to make the trip. And, we also might be able to offer hospitality. It's not really a question, more that just I wanted to insert that in. I thought that was a nice token.
Yeah. No, I won't be able to go out and to the Bohemian Grove this year. In 2000, I infiltrated it. A couple years ago with History Channel, I went, but locals wanted to help and then just reported we were going there. And I was like,
oh.
I told History Channel, I said, you know, that guy was a spy. They're like, oh, there's not spies. And then they were waiting for us when we got there. I'm not saying this guy's saying that.
Right.
But if I was going, I wouldn't tell you I was going.
Gotcha.
Even though I'm going to be going out west in an RV. No, I'm not going to Bohemian Grove.
Okay.
In fact, I should be back even before it even kicks off. But I am going out to Colorado.
Cool. Very cool.
Well, but everybody else should go out there.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, Christopher, what's stopping you? You're already there. You're already familiar with it, apparently. All right. Well, thank you, Alex Jones. I appreciate your time. He's a very busy man, so we're very
Oh, lucky. Come on. That's why I'm here, is to talk to people.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that listeners had. Was it your idea or the listeners, the users of Planet InfoWars to do this?
It was my idea.
Well, it's a good idea. This is the fourth one. And you can watch it all at prisonplanet.tv. And we want to see your questions in the group there at planetinfowars.com.
Absolutely.
And until next time.
Thank you very much. See you next time.
Yeah, great questions. Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Christy Hightower, site moderator on Planet InfoWars, here to let you know how patriots like you are talking this week. Have you ever thought about the greatest risk to civilization biologically referencing? Well, user Rosso has, and in his article, The Greatest Biological Threats to Civilization, he references something like 20 different known biological threats, anthrax, cholera, Ebola, different things like that. He gives you fatality rates, symptoms, how it would affect you. And these are just the ones that we know about, much less ones that might already be developing against us. Then there's an article by Inlike Flint, The Universe, Ancient Astronauts in Atlantis. He starts by telling you a story from his childhood, how his fascination with aliens from above coming down and giving us technology from ancient civilizations ago, and how the in the know now are holding this information, withholding it from us. So that being said, it leads me into our last article, Food Stamps, President Obama Wants You on Food Stamps. This is actually a great article for many reasons. Melissa Melton is actually one of the reporters from the reporter contest. And this article was featured on the InfoWars homepage, and it's still a featured article. She talks about how skyrocketing food stamp usage during Obama's presidency, something like 100%. She gives great references. She is well-spoken and had a great response to her article. So that being said, we are looking out for great articles, well-written, well-referenced. So keep up the good work, you patriots out there. And that being said, also, some other things on Planet InfoWars, you can find the deal of the day, like in the Fed t-shirt. We had that on sale for $12.95 in the sidebar, and that's only on Planet InfoWars. Other things like groups that you can join, get active, create missions, meet people in your local area. So keep up the good work. We are paying attention, and thank you so much, patriots. Till next week.
Hi, and welcome. I'm Christy Hightower from Planet InfoWars. I'm here with Alex Jones to answer your questions from the Ask Alex group on Planet InfoWars. So let's get started, Alex. The first question is, hi, Alex. I have just listened to your interview with David Rothschild, which apparently was a long time ago. But it was an excellent interview, and it makes me think, are you going to grill any other elites like Rockefeller or Romney or Al Gore? Any plans for that?
That is a fantastic question. We were able to get the heir of the Rothschild fortune, one of the top heirs, David de Rothschild, on because he had a book coming out that showed polar bears that couldn't swim dying, and you know, give Al Gore all your money,
right.
give the Rothschild Carbon Exchange that they own money. That's who runs it. Like Australians, it's the only country to fully implement it, pay money to them to even live. So, oh, you're Rothschilds, we pay you money. How can we pay the banks money now through healthcare? It's a tax directly to them. I mean, just incredible. 35 million Americans being forced on. And people ask, how did you get Rothschild? Well, I'm telling all the radio producers out there, people who, well, I mean, radio producers know, but people who don't understand on the internet, some said, you must be working with him. You got him on. No, he was doing a book tour. And that's how you can get famous people on, is when they've got a book out, you can call their publicist or send it, and they just put you in the queue. So it was supposed to be a 10-minute interview. But once I baited him and said, oh, you're going to hang up. Oh, you're scared. He stayed like 35, 40 minutes. And he said insane things like, oh, my gosh, the reason that the ice caps of Mars are melting is because it's closer to the sun than Earth. Because I said, hey, if we pay Al Gore carbon taxes, will he stop the ice caps of Mars from melting? And he said, no, that's preposterous. It's closer to the sun. That's why its ice caps are melting. And, of course, everybody knows it's
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars.
Exactly. not Mercury, Venus, Mars, Earth.
Right.
So it just shows the incredible hubris of these people. And here we are 5 years after I interviewed him. And, of course, that's famously also a clip of that semi-film Endgame. It's been totally exposed and blown away. By the way, this is totally unscripted. Usually she comes in and I kind of have 10 seconds to look at the list. I didn't even look at it, didn't even know about that first question.
No.
So I can't wait to hear what the next one is.
Whacking them out here.
I'm sorry. These are almost good brainstorming sessions. That is a major thing I want all the producers to go after. And that's why when we hire all these new reporters, and the great work you're doing is you guys can just go after whoever you want. And we're going to, you've seen them setting up all these mini studios with lights and cameras Skype. You're going to be able to just get somebody on, interview them.
Awesome.
And people are going to get bonuses. We're free market when they get big people on. So you're welcome to, we're going to set up subsidiary names. We're not lying, but it's a subsidiary of InfoWars that isn't as known. So that you can call the publicists up. The problem is we're now known. So if they're not a fan, they're not coming on. It's like today, Chris thought to call William Shatner, never even tried to get him on. He calls, gets his head guy on. Oh, yeah, we know who you are. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he gets back, he'll probably come on. So that may happen. So it's almost, it's random. You can call interesting scientists. Who knows? A lot of them are already listeners, whether they're artists, poets, journalists, the famous journalist, Pulitzer Prize winner, Chris Hedges, who is suing over NDAA and actually got it partially overturned.
Awesome.
We called him. Turned out he knew who we were, liked the work we're doing. He's like a liberal, but he's a real liberal. He's against tyranny. Okay. Not, I like Obama's tyranny because I'm a Democrat.
Right.
But I don't like Bush's tyranny because he's a Republican.
Segment.
So for our producers, because all we've got right now is Chris, who's great, but he's overworked. He's even running the board some, dealing with my media things, and he's doing a great job on the radio. We've got John Bowne getting into producing. You can start getting into producing. And basically, whoever wants to can. And it isn't just going to be Alex Jones who interviews the cool person. It can be Christy.
Awesome.
It can be Aaron Dykes. I mean, that's what InfoWars is about. It's not just empowering our reporters and people, but you, by our example and others' examples, leading. Look at Luke Radowski from my example. Speaking of confronting people, that was the last part of the question. I had a whole brainstorm when you asked that. That's why it's so good for me to get. That's why I love getting questions originally. I've never seen them because then it's that original, excited, neuron-firing thought. I've noticed that when I've seen a story two or three times before I get on air, by the time I get on air, it's old and I don't want to read it.
Right.
It's very strange phenomenon. So that's what I love this. In fact, I'm thinking about having them come in every day, like Chris or somebody else, and sit there while I'm on the radio and say, all right, here's the questions from Twitter.
That'd be awesome.
Or here's the question from planetinfowars.com.
Yeah.
And so that it makes me get out of my pattern of just ranting, mad at news. I read almost all these articles the day before I even got here. Mm-hmm. Then I IM'd the guys. They printed them off. I got here, never even opened most of these files. Economy, world news, stuff I was all angry about and ready to talk about with understanding of, and I got here and never covered it. So I've got to figure out some way where maybe I should start doing my radio show at 9 a.m.
Keep going.
And instead of getting up at 6 a.m. and reading it all and then getting mad and coming up here, I can get here and actually maybe have a show where it's up on a big screen and I'm just analyzing it fresh right there.
There you go.
I'm having an epiphany here right now.
Yeah.
What was the other point?
One-on-one.
All of you can get out with a camera and confront globalists. We live in Austin, Texas. A lot of globalist bigwigs, but also good people. A lot of famous people, interesting people come through Austin. We've just got to check the newspapers about when they're at Book People, when they're at Barnes & Noble's, when they're at even at a theater or something, because we can get in because we're press. We should be sending our reporters out to that. Austin's now a world-class city, but it's nothing like D.C., L.A., New York, Chicago, where activists that are there, and we probably want to get some reporters and all those. I mean, we already have them, but reporters that actually work for us can go out and do that as well and really just give us unlimited coverage.
Yeah.
So big things are coming to the InfoWar. You've only got about 20 questions. That's one of them. Let's go to the next one right now.
Moving right along. Alex, have you ever looked into the KGB files that were released in regards to the infiltration of the Vatican? It seems funny that the three of the last of the four popes have had to ride behind bulletproof glass, and yet the present pope does not. Any ideas? I know there's a lot of
Yes, I actually did. I even read a book on that years ago. I even had a guest on, and I did look into it. Regardless of whether the Vatican was good or bad in the past, it is infiltrated with all sorts of globalists. And you can really see the power of what was the Vatican being deconstructed right now. And you can see the globalist media demonizing and attacking it. And I'm not Catholic. I come from famous family of Protestants back on both sides of the Mayflower. But regardless of that, so I'm not defending, you know, Catholicism or whatever, but I'm not bashing Catholics. I know a lot of Catholics that are good people that really stand up against tyranny. There, if you look at the media and how they operate, there's no doubt worldwide there is an attempt to bring down Catholicism, because it's got a, all these religious systems and Christian systems, but others have to be brought down for this. The state is God model. And the new sacrament isn't, you know, go to the church and take communion. It's have the TSA abuse you, stick their hands down your pants. And instead of offering your children to Moloch, you offer them to the TSA pervert. You offer your grandmother up to them. And so that's the new God, with the drones and the big government buildings and, you know, all the announcements and government-run healthcare. It's all about the state is God. And that means the special corporate interest, the bankers that have captured our country through fraud and brag that they've done it. Like on that CNBC clip, did you see that?
Yeah.
Where they said that, you know, the bankers now rule you, world government's good. But I thought that didn't exist. But then you also have the Vatican involved in 57 setting up the original Euro, the Treaty of Rome. So it's all of these powerful institutions behave the same. It's just that they're sometimes at odds with each other, but then not at odds with each other when it comes to feeding off the public.
Yeah, they give us issues to just keep us busy, I feel like.
I think in the final equation, all big institutions become corrupted, and most historians will tell you that. It's individual mavericks that are... I had Serpico on the radio today, you know, famous cop, mm-hmm. exposed drug dealing, and they shot him in the face and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's a listener of the show. We called him up a year ago. He goes, oh, I listen to the show sometimes. Yeah, I want to come on. Came on again. You know, and he's like, I visit InfoWars every day. I you know, love your site. But he made a point about how he's run into police all over the country, police chiefs, but also in Europe, who have routed out corruption, and it was because they were in college and read his book about what happened, or saw the Al Pacino movie, and realized it's not about shaking people down and making money off drug dealers who live in a bigger house. It's about really helping people.
Right.
And so he was saying today, be an example, inspire people. And so whether you're in the Catholic Church or whether you're in the Baptist Church, or whether you're in the military or whether you're in corporate America, whether you're a bureaucrat or a school teacher, don't make excuses about the corrupt system you're in or, you know, who's up on top of it. What you do that's right changes that. I mean, it's a real battle between good and evil, and it's what we all do individually. So when we say, oh, it's corrupt, I'm going to leave it alone, you're giving power to the evil.
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking, there's a general question, actually, like, what do we do? And the great response that you seem to have is the little things. It's the little things like making copies of your DVDs, sending out like flyers, just talking to people.
Well, take planetinfowars.com. Its success, and now we've gone through beta, and it had a few glitches like we knew, but now the guys have really got it working great. Incredible job. And so it's there for you, and people are meeting, they're dating, they're camping, they're shooting, they're getting together as activists, they're starting their own journalist groups. I get calls on the radio all the time. We should start a segment once a week on the radio about Planet InfoWars.
That'd be awesome.
It's all part of this brainstorming.
Yeah.
And so just remind me to do that, please. And nudge me into doing it, because there's so much going on, you know, how
we'll
it is.
Formulate it and come to you.
I mean, you see what's going on around here. We're not sitting around.
No, absolutely.
Because we know the time is short. The enemy knows the time is short, and we've got to wake up as many people as we can before things go to the next level, or we could reverse that takeover. But what was the point I was making about...
The little things.
Oh, the little things. Listen, we're taking articles that men and women are writing on that website from all over the world, of every race, color, you know, creed, and promoting them to InfoWars and Prison Planet. And we're working on a system where what you vote up shows up on InfoWars and Prison Planet.
Right.
And that's the key, not just what we're doing at planetinfowars.com, but setting up a system where whatever's top voted shows up on InfoWars and Prison Planet. So again, we're in beta right now, folks. That's why it's so important to spread the word about planetinfowars.com and everything we're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the next question actually has to do with Mitt Romney is a likely Republican nominee. So is Mormonism going to be related to the global elite? Is that going to come into play in any facet?
Well, I think Mitt Romney is first and foremost a vulture capitalist, which is in the same family as a crony capitalist. He's a monopoly guy. His fruits are open borders, abortion, restrictions on the Second Amendment, carbon taxes. That's what he does when he's in power. His rhetoric, a lot of it's really good. But that's not what Mitt Romney's going to do. Kind of like Justice Roberts voted for the plan. It's like, well, he's a Republican. Well, because the insurance companies wrote this. Their stocks are up. They want this. They get to cut the kind of care you get, charge you more for less, make you buy the product.
Tell you when to die.
Tell you when to die, the death panels, exactly. Well, yeah. Christy, not just me ranting. Give us your take on all this. You've been here about a month. You're doing a really great job. Got a lot of energy. We've kind of just thrown you in the deep end. What do you
think? Treading water.
I mean, politically, because I never, when I interviewed you, you know, you seemed interesting, but they'd already interviewed you. I think we did like a 10-minute interview. I never even found out your political views. I'm just kind of, hey, here's the stuff, social network, moderated, you know, no hacking, no porn. And, you know, we're not going to call for, you know, killing races of people.
Right.
But it's pretty much wide open. Now that you've been, well, what were your views before and now a month here? What are your views now?
It's a really fascinating question, actually. You take the political talking points that you hear on all news sites and you utilize those. And so you realize that that's all they are, just talking points, that you're really not delving into the reason that they're there, or even paying attention to the fact that you're getting kicked in the butt no matter who you vote for president, Republican or Democrat. It seems to just keep going in that one direction no matter what's going on. So politically, I would have to say that I was very close-minded in terms of understanding how the world worked. I'm still not there, but it's eye-opening, especially moderating comments. You see what people are saying and you see what they're...
But you're totally already there. I learned so much from the comments, how trolls operate,
absolutely,
but also nuances, how smart folks are, the points they make. Serpico said that today. He said, I love going to websites and reading the thought-provoking ideas because people, there's a lot of smart folks out there, and there's the system and the trolls like, don't do that. But you have, I mean, you do have deep understanding. I mean, everything you always say really has piercing clarity and boiling it down. I mean, I could spend an hour trying to describe something, but you just did it. The mainstream media wants something to be one-dimensional instead of, you know, two-dimensional. They don't want you to look layers within or even ask, where does something come from?
Well, what's fascinating is actually my fascination with the healthcare industry. I actually was pursuing to go to med school before I got this job. That was one of my aspirations. And I've decided I don't want anything to do with the allopathic system. I think it's all about pharmaceuticals and pushing this Agenda 21, essentially, which at the time I had no idea about. But the idea being that people just want a pill. They want everything to be fixed, but they don't want to figure out what the source of it is. They don't want to figure out, like, it's their food, it's their water. And the idea, I honestly never knew about fluoride before I worked here. I never really crossed my mind. You know, I heard about it being good for your teeth, and that was as far as it went. But in my own health, like reading health medical journals and things like that, I've come to the conclusion that essentially, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares enough to ask those questions. And then coming here...
And it's so stupid because these people that don't care, it's affecting their family.
Absolutely. And it's mind-boggling to think that nobody would even ask that question. And then when they do, they're discouraged.
See how smart she is?
Do go on, Alex. Do go on.
No, you're doing a good job. No, I'm serious. Everybody's got it. And I'm the same way. I'm self-deprecating. But we all recognize inherent truth, and we recognize we're not getting it from the mainstream media. I mean, they'll be accurate about a plane crashed here or there was a fire there, but they'll take some issue about, well, Assad's mean, and we're going to get rid of him. And it's like, but you admit you're using Al-Qaeda on him. I mean, I'm no rocket scientist. You're telling me give up my way of life and be a slave because of Al-Qaeda, but you work with him?
Right.
I mean, I just keep... That's all I can talk about. It's just 9/11 being an inside job, all of it. I mean, there it is, just proof.
Well, I hate that terrorist has become one of those like gourmet as to food. I mean, it's overused and it's a fear monger.
Yeah, like Chef Boyardee dog food crud, and they says gourmet, and it's got a guy with a white hat on it, so it must be really good.
Absolutely, and that's what they've done with terrorism. In the name of fear, you're willing to give up all your rights, like the TSA, starting with the TSA, like. Those kind of ideas, those kind of issues.
Exactly. All we're doing is unplugging from this BS system. It doesn't even mean we have all the answers. How many questions are we? I've got to leave in.
I think we're at question three right now.
I've got to leave in 20 minutes to go see my grandmother.
Okay.
That's right. I'm a good person on Friday night. I'm going to see my grandmother.
Filet mignon and everything.
That's right. I only see her about once a month. She likes steaks, and I'm going to bring her a steak.
That's awesome.
You actually heard me. I ordered. You were coming in there, and I'm like, so my wife said, "Honey, will you get her a steak? Because she likes a steak." So we're all going to drive over with the kids and hang out with her.
That sounds fun.
It's about all my grandmother will eat. She hardly eats. I tell you how that woman. She doesn't eat anything.
Like a bird.
She's like a bird. But you bring her a little fillet, she'll eat it.
Oh yeah.
Anyways.
Well, the next question actually is it's from Ian. He says, "I recently saw a picture of a drone that was used in a news article. On the back, it had an NSA, a NASA symbol. And I know that NASA has stopped sending ships to the space station. Does this mean that NASA is no longer doing that, and instead they're working with the National Defense?"
Well, great question. NASA, since it was set up under the office of the president in the late 40s, has always been a military operation. And so much of the secret government is actually under NASA. The space program was only their PR campaign to sell you on budgetary funding. Conservatively, it was about 80% until the last few years of NASA funding went to secret projects. Like, secret launch of NASA. Now it's over 90%. And the 1930s technology of Wernher von Braun was the big Nazi expert. He drew and designed the space shuttle in the 30s. Right for Hitler to come to power. He became his head of projects. So he came over to the U.S. in the 50s. He was taken actually after World War II in the 40s, 45 to be technical. And you've got the Goddard Space Center. He was also a big Nazi. So it wasn't just Nazis in that. It was Nazis over intelligence. They said, "Oh, we like your model. You're the boss." So they actually took about 14,000 top Nazis over here to run everything, including nerve gas.
Paperclip? Is that Project Paperclip?
A rat line paperclip. But they also would have the Nazis run the programs to bring they'd bring some young troops in and nerve gas them in a chamber just to have the Nazis see if they could get U.S. doctors to go along with it. Well, we've got to kill these troops because if we get hit with nerve gas, millions will die. And, it's for the greater good. Mm. So they killed foster kids, everything. But the Nazis knew it was like how to get somebody into evil in the name of good, the greater good. Like that film on vaccines that we carry at Infowars.com. It's called The Greater Good because that's the big sick joke. But it's a whole nother area of discussion. People are like, "Oh, we don't hear about the Nazis or the ultimate evil all day." No, there's lots of evil governments, but the Nazis, the system they developed came out of eugenics in England, and the government here was a big fan of that predominantly. So, the Nazis were like rock stars, and they took them over here and put them in everywhere. But to answer the space program question, NASA's involved with Google. NASA's involved with the NSA. NASA is just kind of a PR name.
Because everyone thinks it's cool to go to space.
I mean, it's kind of like a NASCAR guy has got all these patches on him, and the big patch on the shadow government's NASA. Gotcha. But it's a bunch of patches that make up the shadow government.
You should draw something
that. I
like all your doodlings.
I mean, it's more like Space Command. Space Command's actually over the whole military, Colorado Springs, NORAD. All of that is NASA's just one logo of the secret government.
Gotcha.
So it's always been secret. And now, since you're not into space travel, it's not cool anymore, they'll show you simulated space travel. It's all drone. Hundreds of drone, Black Manta spacecraft, DU Sabo rounds, meteor guns, decapitation networks to be able to knock out every world leader in 1 hour. They had that in 1979. I've interviewed the former head of Star Wars, Dr. Bob Bowman. People don't think Star Wars started until the early 80s. I mean, it's just a huge secret government program. Pretty much an off-world technological breakaway civilization.
Wow.
We don't even know how thousands of astronauts have died in secret missions. That's a conservative number. I've talked to former top NASA people who I've been friends with for decades, well, 15 years, who you can watch in the Apollo program are on the front line, like up there running things. One guy lives outside Austin.
Cool. Let's name him on.
His name's Raymond Teague. Well, he's hard to get on air.
I imagine.
Plus, he's got heart trouble and stuff. And thing is, he'll tell you stuff in private. Once he gets on air, it's almost like conditioning. You can't even talk about it.
Unnerving.
They went to the moon and beyond. The point is that what we were shown with the moon technology, a lot of that was fake because they don't want to show you what they really got. Man, these are good questions. What's coming up next?
Ron Paul is quoted as saying, "Nobody has a right to someone else's wealth. You have a right to your life and you have a right to your property. But education isn't a right. Medicare isn't a right. These are things that you earn.
But isn't it hypocritical to say that when we support a right to fair trial or a civil trial by jury, that isn't that hypocritical?
Now, maybe I'm dense, but read me that question one more time.
Essentially, Ron Paul states nobody has a right to anyone else's wealth, including education as a right, Medicare as a right, But isn't it hypocritical to say that when we support a right to a fair trial and a civil trial by jury? I included this question because I honestly wanted your opinion as well. I read it and I thought, I don't know. I don't know what he's going to answer.
Well, that's a good philosophical question. There are all these anarchist capitalists that just say, no state, no nothing. Well, I mean, humans organize themselves.
Absolutely.
The question is, how do you organize yourself? And so on one extreme, there's the argument that all good comes from collectivization, which we know is a nightmare. You have no privacy, no nothing. A bunch of people sit around or get in a gang with clubs and make you work for them. That's what it turns into.
Someone essentially takes over at some point.
There's always, exactly, that creates a power vacuum. It always reverts back to the law of the jungle. So it's better to have good people organize themselves into an agreed upon super limited government to protect themselves from the next country that's a big centralized government that wants to come and make them slaves. And that's the 1776 model. And so if you're going to have a limited government, the individual better be involved and better show up as the final checkmate in the grand jury and the jury, which you're supposed to be able to vote, but also grand jury, regular jury, and also the cartridge box. So there's a lot of ways to vote, and we're supposed to be the judge of the law, you know, as well as do we think this was right morally. It's called jury nullification. So people that look at Ron Paul and say, that's not libertarian enough. I shouldn't have to go to jury duty. Well, no, what you should look at is how they've turned the juries into puppets being instructed by the judge instead of the other way around. And if you study our system, that's what we're at. I mean, I'd rather beat the government health care first and beat the gun control and beat the, you know, the globalization and all of this and the corporate welfare before I sit around and say, well, let's just get rid of juries. Because the globalists actually are funding one arm of the libertarian movement to do just that, an absolutely extreme mode that they only implement in certain areas where they want to be able to get away with what they've done. So it's a balancing act, but obviously more liberty, more what you want is to make people be more self-sufficient, because history shows that develops greater individuals, okay? The systems that seek to destroy individualism are nightmarish and colorless and dull. But now they've already put people in a zombie state, dumbed them down, made them so unhealthy that you have to, as Ron Paul says, you're not going to get rid of it overnight.
Yeah.
You're not going to just, so we're just trying to pull out of the gravitational pull of giant, like the sun, of giant government, total state control. And we're just trying to get the rocket ship out of there. And then we can debate after we survive what we're going to do. But sitting back and going, I go to an anarchist meeting and I wouldn't be for any government. Really, you drove here on a government road. So you better discuss how we're going to, the system's already built.
Right.
It is predatory. It's going into retrograde. It's plummeting to earth. So we have to go with something that by increments, we got here by increments. Rome wasn't built in a day. We're going to get out of this by increments.
You can apply that to your life even. Just like losing weight. Aaron Dykes, you know all about that, right?
92 pounds.
Tangy tangerine.
Infowarsteam.com.
That's not the only thing. You had to consciously make an effort about what you did. It's little things. Absolutely. Goes back to the little things. That's the theme.
Aaron, right. Behind the camera.
Hi, Alex. The U.S. has a lot of debt, and so does Europe. So the question is, debt to whom? The big private banks seem to have financial problems, so they can hardly own all of that debt. Is there a global financial black hole somewhere? Maybe you can just elaborate. God, you talk
these
about
questions
it.
Are just incredible. Where is the debt? It's an incredibly complex question. It gets into monetary theory, how the whole system was set up. But basically, because our monetary system is not in a tangible, measurable seashells or gold or silver or whatever it is, it's fiat. Whoever controls the fiat issuance is king. The Rothschilds say, I care not who is.
There was actually an article on Planet InfoWars wrote, like, I think today or yesterday, just about that. Basically, whoever prints the money is.
Exactly. I mean, Lord Rothschild said, I don't care who the politicians are. I don't care who the king is. As long as I control the money, that's all right. That matters. So basically, you end up having two systems. You've got the real economy, and you've got the, quote, government. But above it, you have the central bankers or the money changers who want to attack the real economy because they're monopolists and want to move it into the government system so it can be moved up to them. But they want to create an illusion and just have the people fighting with the government all day, not looking at that, not looking at that next rail. And I'm oversimplifying this, but continuing, just writing on the back of articles here. Sure. Well, I mean, I can do better graphics of this. I mean, this is all.
That's okay. We could.
No. I'm sure we can leave all this in too. But let's just leave it all in there unedited. but I mean, you know, you've got humanity, you've got productivity, you've got ideas, you've got blood, sweat, and tears, you've got economy, and then you've got government that's telling us that, well, it's there to organize things, but it inherently is unaccountable, destructive, and lazy. That's just what happens.
Right.
But you've got the banksters that understand this, the technocrats. And they're always trying to get this dependent, shut down, monopolistic, where only their buddies in certain sectors control it. So it goes into government and goes back to them and, you know, back to these guys at the top. But to ask the question is, what is the debt? You know, when a dollar is created, it's not really a dollar. It's a Federal Reserve note now. It's not backed with anything.
Right.
You have to pay debt back to the Fed or allowing that to be created. Whereas previously, whether it was gold-backed or not, the government just issued it, and the dollar was just a symbol that you could use to exchange goods, which makes a lot of sense if you're not engaged in barter. And this empowers the individual. But instead, with this Federal Reserve System, it empowers the banksters, who are all fraudsters and call themselves the Fed. They're not Fed. Oh, we can trust that. It's the Fed. But again, I'm oversimplifying this. I mean, the basic question is, where is the debt? On average, about 76% of all of the taxes you pay, county, city, federal, end up going into slush funds. It's not even for pensions. It's called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And the 24% or so goes into the budget that we hear about. And they want the budget, the banksters, to always be in trouble so they can have all these ads and TV shows about how you're in debt and you didn't pay enough and things are about to collapse so that you get deeper and hawked to them. It's basically loan sharks. They are fraudsters, so they want to wreck the economy so they can come in with fiat money and buy it up after they've wrecked it. It's very, very simple. But it doesn't produce productive economies. And so if you look at Greece or any of these countries, they bring in a welfare system to create a dependent class who will beg for money and ride if they don't get it. But that's always blamed for the shortfall. It's almost never the shortfall. The shortfall is that the banksters will also put their people in, Goldman Sachs and others, into Ireland, Greece, the U.S., Argentina, over by Australia, the Kiwi, it'll pop my head in the place, what's the place everybody's moving to? Sometimes I can't think of the name of something. New Zealand. You know, that's all run by Goldman Sachs people, the finance ministers, presidents. And then they come out and say, oh, my God, the public's in debt. The country's bankrupt. But you always notice, oh, it's too big to fail. It's the six big banks. It's their $1.5 quadrillion. That's the black hole. So people say, you know, where is it all going? Where's the black hole? Well, that's it. They create the black hole to destroy the real economy so they can stand over it as managers and saviors, making themselves the boss who will get you out of the crisis if you go into debt to them. But the debt was always created by them, and then their people engage in fraud to make you think that only they can protect you. I mean, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's the black hole. There's all of it.
You make the problem and you come in as the hero. I mean,
exactly. You problem, reaction, solution. There you go. She just boiled it down. You wreck society by design so that you can come in as the knight on shining armor.
Wow. That's seriously hateful, evil.
They want to be in control.
Yeah. Well, Alex, I have been wanting to ask you, do you know, if they are using the HAARP on the chemtrails? I live in Washington State, and it seems our weather patterns here are getting worse. They spray heavy up here, and it rains about 3 days after they spray the chemtrails. So
now they want to bankrupt the country. They admit there's a weaponized weather program. They admit the program's real. A guy got a Nobel Prize in the 90s, early 90s for it. And they are trying to bankrupt this country, like $20 billion to move General Motors to China. I mean, yes, there is a weapons program. They do ionize it. That part's been is in the patents. It's real. We just don't know exactly what they're doing. We just know the program's going on.
Right.
And I've been saying this 17 years. They didn't admit it till 4 years ago. And exactly what all the researchers said, barium salts, aluminum dioxide, and then said, oh, yeah, we're doing that, but it's classified. And what they do is they add it to the jet fuel where the engines, and it disperses nuclei, and they do it in key weather. I mean, it's amazing.
You can even see the patterns over the ocean. They even have.
When you were a child, how long did a contrail stay up there?
I remember thinking, wow, it's so cool how they stay up here for so long. I didn't think they would, but I don't know, maybe 30 minutes, something like that, hour.
How old are you?
You never ask a woman her age, Alex. Let's say under 30. Let's go under 30.
Okay, I never even asked your age. No, the point is, I'm almost 40. Condensation trails dissipated in a matter of minutes, if not seconds, until the mid-90s. And now they persist, as they call them, and they stay there. It's not all planes. You'll have one plane right beside another plane coming in, and one's not leaving a trail, the other is. It depends what fuel additives they have. Actually have spray planes. It's incredible. But this is going on, and it just shows how you let a secret government take over of mad scientists. They just dominate society.
Yeah. Find out which ways they can do it. Okay, so what would be one of the best things to do if they release the weaponized bird flu?
Oh, man, these questions. I should be doing these on the radio.
Yeah, these are great. Or do a panel with Aaron Dykes.
What to do? Yeah, no, but I like the fact that it's, like, fresh, though, but then it's like, wow. I have moved to the country outside Austin because I'm not living in fear. I'm trying to live in control because I love my children. And the globalists really are pushing the idea in all the movies and culture, but also in government documents, that there will be mass plagues, weaponized Ebola, weaponized bird flu, mouse pox for humans. This stuff kills like 85-90+% of people, depending on which. Some of them kill like 98% if you get it. And of course, they'll have some vaccine that cures you, but God knows what it gives you. I mean, right. It's just diabolical crazies. So if all that happens, I still haven't set up the telecommuting out where I live because the internet wasn't what they claimed. It barely works. But I mean, in the final equation, I'll have to take care of my children. The best thing you can do is get away from population centers if they release it. But if they do release it, they're going to be spraying it. So I don't know how you escape it. I mean, it's what's so horrible about these people and how they say once they get a big enough police state in place, or they think they can release this stuff and control the panic and pose as saviors on the news, they're going to do it. And the very newscasters that are compartmentalized are going to lose their family. They're reporting that the government's the good guy and everything, and it's all engineered. And then we have all these documents where the very government posing as a savior is the one developing it. It's just horrible.
What do those reporters even do all day? I mean, like, how is it that they say they have slow news days when there's all kinds of documents being
Well, the made? average reporter, like at CBS or NBC or ABC, the national, even if they're an affiliate, but a lot of them are owned by those or owned by sub corporations, they have news packages, have already produced video. Mm. And then all they've got to do is read the teleprompter, and it looks like local news.
Mm-hmm.
About it's the law to take vaccines when it's not. People can look it up and find out it's a hoax.
Even Dr. Oz doesn't give the H1N1 vaccine to his kids. He's on record as saying that.
I think that's because morally in the final equation, he knew how dangerous it was. He couldn't just sit there and go along with that fraud. But the issue is I had the former owner of local NBC station, since I've lived here, he's been on TV, the head guy at CBS the other day. And they said, oh, we want to come by. And they got here, and the questions were coming out. At the end, they go, oh, by the way, this is for national CBS. I'd already figured that out, the questions they were giving me. Because it was on multiple subjects. And then he goes, yeah, a big guru at, you know, CBS wanted me to come down here and asking these questions. And it was basically the standard, well, you're making a lot of money. Is that what this is all about? But the point is, that shows how local news literally is told, and it's not even owned by CBS. It's just the guru from there. That's his word, says, go interview Alex Jones. to give them, and like, yeah, this is going to air nationally. So it's like, fund the, you know, head reporter,
right,
you know, guy that manages CBS here locally, but it's a, I think it's owned by like Sinclair. And he's not even a bad guy. He's just, well, you've hit the big time. I've been sent down here by the big guru. And you just see how you think it's local news. It's not. Because these guys know, do what the guru says and go get the report for us. And it's going to air in different regions and nationally. And there they are all day over there at CBS local. Like 6 years ago, I have the tape of that same CBS before he was there. I'm not bashing him, saying mercury's good for your brain. So you can type in mercury good for your brain.
And, go ahead and take some arsenic pills while you're at it. Why not?
Well, and it's weird. A tiny bit of mercury and arsenic, you know, totally microscopic levels, I've talked to scientists, is actually needed. Isn't but not in the levels. Do what?
Isn't it already in certain foods and things like that?
Well, that's it. You need just tiny trace amounts. They're putting thousands of times what you'd want in there.
Right. Well, next question, Alex. You say that the elite want a cashless society, but the illegal drug and weapon deals and so on would be exposed if the money could not be tracked or could be tracked then. So that logic doesn't compute to me. Can you explain it?
Well, they've got old programs they're running that are merging with new programs. And that's a point that I've thought about a lot. Regardless, the big mega banks who do launder most of the drug money on record, I mean, just look it up. It's all over the news. You know, big bank caught laundering $200 billion in drug money. No trouble at all. You know, Bloomberg, $376 billion laundered by Wachovia and Wells Fargo. I mean, just look at these headlines. But at the same time, they want to move to a cashless society because it's even a bigger business to charge you $5 like Bank of America wanted to do every time you use your own debit card.
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And backlash killed that. But once they've got you there, they can track the whole economy. They can shut down whoever they want. They can get rid of the underground economy. But here's what's going to happen with cashless society. You're still going to have cash. You're just going to thumbprint or face scan when you buy and sell. Or your sales tax bracket they're going to have you in. It's going to be graduated. And with all the new fat taxes and unhealthy taxes, because we're in socialized healthcare, everybody's paying after all. We have to monitor what you're eating to make sure that once you buy too much red meat, you're charged for it. So this is what they want. We're not there yet, but they're phasing us in to this program, and they're trying to merge their old cash society with the cashless. So they're still going to have cash. And then they'll just waive all the regulations and laws for themselves. Like when you go take $1,000 out of the bank, they go, we're filing a suspicious report on this. What do you want all this cash for? But if you want to put $10 billion in there and you're a drug dealer, well, Wells Fargo will lease the planes for you and run the drugs. No, I mean, that was on the news.
Let me open the door for you.
Well, no, I mean, exactly. I mean, they'll go get the planes for you. So, I mean, I've talked to police. It's been in the news. Where they're not allowed to check into a bank where the drug dealers are depositing the money. They're just allowed to bust the drug dealer. That's just some low-level drug dealer. That's just for the facade of busting some, you know, low-level person.
Keep the masses happy.
Well, you got to do that to keep prices up. You can't have too many drug dealers, too many people distributing, even if they're your distributor. They call those snacks.
Interesting term. All right, last question to you, Alex. Here's the biggest question that can't be answered but will be answered. What will push American citizens finally over the edge? Given that Obamacare was put into action earlier this week, that was quite a riot. What are your thoughts?
This is a scientific tyranny run by psych warfare experts in their own words. So they know how to slowly, you know, they're going to implement it over years. They're going to take their time killing us. And so they tell us, oh, it's going to be defeated. So we all lay down like, oh, NDAA, Obama's going to veto it. He wrote the thing. His lawyers did. He signed it, but he signed it on New Year's Eve. So you wouldn't feel bad. You know,
we were too busy doing other
It's kind of like a shot they give you that kills you, but it feels good when they do it.
Mm.
You know, like, oh, you're going to have pleasure. You're going to be dead in 60 seconds, but doesn't that euphoria feel nice? So you don't resist them. Or it's death by a smiley face. It's like, I'm nice. It's like Warren Buffett always poses with ice cream cones. Most photos, like, oh, ice cream, I'm non-threatening. Or Bill and Melinda Gates are always his superheroes. Oh, we're sweet. This is all part, I mean, real evil doesn't dress up like Darth Vader or Freddy Krueger. It acts all like an NPR thing. Hi. That's how you get a horse when you're taken to the glue factory. A 20-year-old horse Yeah, that old nag, you know, she ain't bad, did a lot of work, but she's old, and I'm gonna sell her off for dog food. They're gonna chop her hooves off and turn them into Elmer's glue. And you just come on, Betsy, come on, got some right here in the trailer for you. Yeah, there's a carrot in there, sweetheart. You go on in there, honey. They don't go, I'm gonna turn you into glue. The horse would run off. It's like, how you doing, sweet cake? Come on in, it's all right. You see, I actually only a few times delivered cows to slaughterhouses. And they'll open up the, as I work for a large animal vet, a few times we had to be there shooting up vaccines just to follow regulations at the slaughterhouse. Mm. Even though it wasn't, and, you know, when they first bring them, you don't want them to get upset, you know, big trailers of cows. It's just like, all right, come on off, because you don't understand people. But if they don't do what you say, you give them a little cattle prod. But it's like, all right, everything's fine. You're going to enjoy this. And that's how they did it with horses. It's like, come on in here. You know, when they walk over to a horse that's broken its leg in a race, they don't come up and try to scare it. They're like, it's all right, it's all right. And they take the handgun and shoot it in the head. It's just, oh, we're NPR. We got a nice, friendly NPR voice. Pew. You see how that works? And so that's what it is. It's just all, if we can break people out of their trance, we could collectively at the grassroots have the minions of the system realize that this is going to destroy their children and their future. That's the only hope, is accessing the ancient survival mechanisms of humans. But through archetypal programming, the system is able to shut that down. They know exactly what they're doing. So we're here just cutting through the signal with a direct, hey, they live, you sleep, and they want you to sleep so they can kill you. Mm-hmm. Wake up, truly live. But what will probably wake us up is if the globalists, they like to overdo it. They think they're gods. They understand how we work, but they're not gods. They cheat each other. They infight. That's one of the biggest threats against their program. But then from the grassroots, from the proletariat, as they call us, it's that they're going to implode things too fast and things will get out of hand. That's why they want to move gingerly.
People will wake up.
Because they're loading thousands of horses on to go get cut up for steaks to be sold in France. You know, they want to get all the horses on the train here. That's why they don't kill me. Because I'm kind of kicking and jumping around. They're like, never mind him. You get on that train, there's a bunch of carrots at the other end. And I'm like, no, I saw what they do. And they're like, you know.
Oh, man.
Do you see the analogy?
Yeah. Absolutely. When you put it that way, it's really easy to pick.
No, that's why they act real. The whole act of the sandals and the hippie stuff, they have lots of minions who just like the style. They're not really hippies. They're, you know, people that are into freedom. You take folks like Pianca at the Texas Academy of Sciences. I mean, he had like a 90% standing ovation crying when he said 90% will soon die, including my family, airborne Ebola, and other scientists all around the power trip of, we're going to kill everybody. Ah! I mean, they're just like these, it's scum is who they are.
Yeah.
It's just the wild control of, we're going to kill everybody. Ah! It's so much fun. And like the average person is like, what?
Right.
But these are the scientist types selected out of all the scientists that came in who were normal, because they liked injecting, you know, things into rats to see what would happen. They were the 1% of the sickos told they were the elite. Those were told, you're not getting a PhD, or, okay, well, you'll just go into this division that isn't actually running things. It was like I never had that J.P. Morgan, or no, it was Goldman Sachs filmmaker. I mean, I didn't even know she'd been like one of the highest people in the company. I looked it up. It was true. After she said it, she made this greater good I talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, it's a master plan to kill everybody. She goes, it's funny. I had a Goldman Sachs, you know, meeting with the, you know, head guy from the big pharma. And he goes, I'm going to make $7 billion this year killing people. And he was getting off on it. And I went and investigated and found out it's true. It's like anybody that breaks through to this level, you're not part of the club unless you like killing people. But see, she was like a high-level Goldman Sachs person making millions of dollars a year and everything, but hadn't broke through to that level. And this guy thought he was comfortable, and he just kicked back in her office. Yeah, we're going to make $7 billion this year killing these people with these vaccines. God, I love killing them. She's like, you're joking, right? No, I'm going to kill them. What do you mean you're joking? You're a Goldman Sachs high-level vice president,
yeah,
managing director. We're going to kill some people. We're powerful. We kill people. I mean, that's why when Zbigniew Brzezinski, who helped Pol Pot kill 30% of his population, goes up on people like David Rockefeller in hearings are like, sir, you are like the most incredible person. You're like a rock star. Henry Kissinger's a rock star because he killed a bunch of people. But he did it bureaucratically and wimpily. And they love that whole I'm ranting here. Last questions here. I mean, I know this sounds wild, but we've broken through to the other side. We've discovered these vampires is basically what they are. They're like a cat playing with a mouse. And I sit here watching them do this to humanity. I don't want to sit here and watch them get away with it anymore.
Right. Which is awesome.
I want to rout these people. They came up with this scientific, passive, you know, I'm in a pink outfit. That's a camouflage. The ultimate camouflage is they're acting non-threatening. These are ravenous, demonic, psychopathic, killing wolves.
Well, to the average person, we don't comprehend that. Like, I don't want to kill anybody. I have no desire to kill anyone, so why would anybody else want to do that?
You just don't realize the power of it.
I guess I'm not that high up yet. Alex Jones, thank you so much for coming on and answering these questions.
Thank you. I mean, I know that was like 40 minutes.
That was wonderful. Again, I'm Christy Hightower with Planet InfoWars. Send all of your questions to the Ask Alex group at Planet InfoWars, and till next time.
And we're going to start a lot of other stuff, too. I mean, we're trying to get the articles you write up on the main InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Give us your ideas. Help us spread the word. Christy, it's good having you on board.
Wonderful.
Aaron Dykes, you've got something big coming out next week. I'm just going to leave it at that. It has to do with the skulls that were in here. It's big. It's big. Big secrets.
Oh, awesome. That was one of the questions we only have so many questions we can ask at a time.
Well, it was supposed to come out earlier this week, but it's an ambitious project.
Okay. They're excited. Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hi, and welcome to the Ask Alex questions from the Ask Alex group on Planet InfoWars. I'm here with Alex Jones, and I'm Christy Hightower, so let's get started.
And let me just stop you.
Okay.
I got to interrupt. Trademark Alex Jones. I've noticed people online, and I got to respond to trolls because it's fun, saying this is scripted in here. This is not scripted.
No.
She came in here about 2 minutes ago, and I had time to look at the top here. We're doing the nightly news, 7 o'clock every night. The syndicated three-hour radio show every day, InfoWars Live, and wouldn't matter if I'd already heard these questions, but the implication is...
We want you to be live. We want you to be...
Well, exactly, but the implication is that I couldn't talk on my feet.
Right.
Everybody knows it's the opposite. I have diarrhea of the mouth here, ladies and gentlemen. So I don't know about these questions yet. I've looked at one of them, and... To be honest, sometimes I'm not going to have all the full answers about these because I haven't had time to...
And that's the point.
Exactly. It's an on-the-fly deal.
Yeah.
But most importantly, it's about PlanetInfoWars.com. You go there to ask me questions in the Ask Alex section. You go there to do your own journalism, to claim that I work for blood-drinking lizards. Whatever it is, you go to PlanetInfoWars.com. There's dating, camping, fishing... Whatever the case is. Sorry, Christy.
No,
we've got Gerald Celente coming up in 15 minutes, so I better get rolling here.
All right, we'll make this fast then. All right, so this is from Steph. She says, hey, Alex, some of my trendy but well-meaning friends keep sending me links to sign online petitions from avaz.org. Some of the petitions push for the UN to create a no-fly zone over Libya and to pressure the UN to support the FSA in Syria. Azaz covers a myriad of issues and claims not to receive any funding from corporations or foundations. So, Alex, Avaz.org, which claims to have 14 million members, is it a globalist tool or just a group of misguided, well-meaning activists trying to do some good?
Let me look it up here real quick because I've got to be honest. I don't want to sit here and talk about somebody I don't know about. See, this is the problem with a question like this, is that sometimes, like I said last time on that video, if I don't know, then you guys can bring me the info, and then I can come back in a part two.
That'd be awesome.
But what I do know is that there's lots of online petition sites where basically anybody can create a petition. Whitehouse.gov does this, and people are saying, oh, my gosh, you know, the president wants to have GMO labeling. No, he doesn't. I can go to Whitehouse.gov and create a petition and then get people to sign it and send it to them. And they found in this whole Delphi technique, they like to make you think that you're actually interfacing with them and that they're listening to you. So it's just a tool to make it look like the White House is transparent, listening to people. When it comes to real meat and potatoes issues, totally run by the same globalist lobbyist. Now, I don't know about this particular site. My memory is I think I've seen it before, and I think that it does have a lot of members because I'm going from memory tentatively here, but look it up yourself. That basically anybody can go there and do a petition. So, of course, you're going to have NGOs from the UN going in to this site or other sites and creating them. But the answer is go and create your own petitions, because really, even if government ignores it to a certain extent, it's a way to get issues in front of people. In fact, I found that we've gone out and done some comedy pieces showing so-called environmentalists wanting to ban dihydrogen monoxide. That's water. But we say, oh, dihydrogen monoxide, it's in the ground around here. It causes you to have to urinate, and other issues.
All would you like side effects?
Would you like to ban dihydrogen monoxide? About 90%+ are like, yes, ban it right now. Also, wow. Sodium chloride, and that's salt, table salt. They want to ban that. The point is, yeah, I said we have to hurry, but Salente's great, but he can wait a few minutes. The point is that I'm just joking. The point is that I am very, is this is all scripted, ladies and gentlemen, right now. As you can tell, it's a teleprompter. Don't show the teleprompter over there, Aaron. Now they're going to believe it. Aaron, aim the camera over there so they can see it.
No, we have no teleprompter.
Now, Lewis is, who's also one of the great moderators over at planetinfowars.com. He is hiding back there. Show Lewis, the guy that secretly gives all the orders around here.
Yeah.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Orders from this guy right here.
That is the secret guy. All right, now hold on. This is out of control now. This is out of control. No, but I have to go back to number one question. No, we only have two pages here.
Yeah, no big deal.
No, actually, I think I've answered that question. The UN is very good. Oh, to finish the other point, we would go out and get them to talk to us with a petition. So people are ready to talk. It's just a great way to get people to politically talk to you. Of course, have a real petition, but it's a way to educate people. They'll stop for whatever reason if they're told it's a political or social issue thing.
Right.
Other issue is the UN does a lot of this on well-meaning topics to make their overall agenda sound good, but at the core of it, it's a very murderous authoritarian system that basically hides a neocolonialism. And so that's what the UN does. Moving right along to question number two, Christy.
Moving right along. All right, so the Indiana state legislator recently voted to allow the people to shoot and kill any rogue cop who illegally invades your home. This is well within the Constitution and Federalist Papers and complies with the castle laws and rulings, but so far you've been mum on the subject. This is per Heligon user. So
They are somebody who really pays attention. I've had that article two or three times in the last week since it passed in Indiana and meant to cover it, but so many days I don't get to it all. Look, I can't get to one question here. But the way I'm describing this is basically how I'm thinking about it. I have meant to cover it. It's just a big subject, and I meant to pull out some of the rulings that this person alludes to and never got around to it. So then I never covered it, because I didn't want to not have the rulings, and there's literally hundreds of them. But here's the truth behind the story. You know, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Texas tried to pass a law last year saying the TSA couldn't grope people at the airport because it's illegal. Well, right. It's already on the books as illegal. That's why a cop can't randomly stop you and stick their hand down your pants.
Or the CIA
or FBI or anybody. Exactly, Christy. So why do we need a law to enforce something that's already the law? And so that's true about Indiana, is that a police officer that breaks into your house as a rogue, and that happens quite often. Some of them go crazy, or there were criminals to begin with. A police officer's commonly, and one of the problems is, you know, try to force women into different relations, or police tend to rob motorists. That's something that's extremely common. It's not all police, but they're, especially in some of these big cities where criminals get in, the union's criminal controlled, and you get a force of criminals, there's big problems with police beating people up, raping them, killing them, robbing them. And grand juries were so brainwashed that they didn't know about common law or rulings or existing laws. They would still convict someone who shot a police officer that broke in their house without a warrant and was beating them. And so the state legislature passed a law, which is a good law, reaffirming that. But the media spun it like people now are going to say a police officer is unlawful and shot them. Well, here's the deal. Police didn't even get set up in this country until about 150 years ago in New York City. And the big joke is that the film The Gangs of New York, Martin Scorsese, is very accurate. They were the first big, mean, vicious street gang. That's why the New York police are still so corrupt today. There are a lot of better forces around the country. You can debate whether you want a police force or not. But the issue is that the system, the nanny state, wants people totally and completely, absolutely dependent on government. So they don't want the idea of us being able to defend ourselves, much less defend ourselves against rogue police.
People with badges.
people with badges that are out of control. But the other point I was going to make, which is the key, I forgot. But here's the issue. Police were set up as part under the state charter of the county and then the city. The city citizens organized themselves in a corporation, just like the Mayflower came over as a corporation, right, or you know, Jonestown or whatever, or Jamestown. They all came over and set up a corporation. So that's where that idea comes from. So a city is a corporation under the state laws. And then we go and say, we're going to specially train people to be police officers who work for us. And here are our city laws that follow the state laws, that follow the Constitution.
Right.
Okay. And so all a cop.
Ideally.
Exactly. So all a cop is. Well, yeah, that's how it's supposed to work.
Right.
So all a cop is someone who has been duly sworn, bonded, and trained to engage in professional citizens' arrest. Just like I can go out if somebody's mugging an old lady or robbing, you know, somebody, I can go up and physically restrain them, and if they try violence, I can kill them. That's a citizen's arrest power. If I catch somebody breaking into my garage and I pull out my 357 and I say, hands up or I'm going to kill you, that's a citizen's arrest right there. Okay? So cops only have citizen's arrest. It's now become butt backwards, ass backwards, as they call it, where they're trying to say citizens can't defend ourselves and only the police can do it because the government wants a monopoly of power. So there is your part two on Indiana. I'm glad I've now had a chance to cover it. Folks can look up the rulings. He mentions one of them there, but there are literally no doubt thousands. I've seen hundreds because I follow this closely, that if some cop off duty or on duty goes crazy and wants to bust down your door and come into your house without a warrant, it's just like any other criminal.
Right.
And you have a right and a duty to defend yourself, but
we've been taught we'll get in trouble if we try to defend ourselves, you know? Like, somebody breaks into your home and you hurt them because they've broken into your home, they sue you.
I mean, yeah, and they've tried to have courts have bad rulings. Like England's got to the point where you go to jail if you defend yourself. It hasn't gotten like that here yet because we're pushing back.
Nice. Alex, there's this viral video. It's on YouTube, and it's actually titled Detained for Open Carry, Portland, Maine.
There is a reason to stop you.
Unless you suspect me of a crime, as Terry v. Ohio, Delaware v. Prouse, requires you to have a suspicion of crime before you detain an individual. Brown v. Texas does not allow you to stop an individual and demand their ID.
So the user is trying to tell you we're awake here in Maine, so yay. And he goes, perhaps now that people are starting to come together, what direction is the freedom and truth movement going, especially with the direct hit on the Paul campaign? Or is Ron even still in the race? This is a bad robot army is the user.
Well, that's a long question.
Yeah. we thought Indiana was long.
I have not seen that particular video, but I've seen countless videos over the last decade where people exercise their right to open carry. There's laws against concealed carry because in ancient times, a criminal would conceal weapons, but free people would wear their swords or muskets openly.
Make it well known.
And that's why you wave at somebody. That's a sign of, hey, no weapon in my hand. I'm a friend. That's why you shake somebody's hand because it's really an oath that you're friendly. You wouldn't shake the hand of somebody you didn't like. People are all into like being honorable up front because no one would associate with anybody who was deceptive or a liar or you know, disreputable. And so almost all 50 states have a common law and then laws in their state constitutions where open carry is legal. Concealed carry is illegal. That's how they trick you into getting a concealed carry. Going, oh, go get a license for a concealed carry. It creates the perception that all carrying is illegal. Plus, they have most of these dramas and cop shows set in New York where they pull you over and, oh, you got a gun, you're going to jail. One of the few cities where it's actually illegal because it's got unconstitutional garbage on the books. It hasn't been overthrown. Actually, it has been overthrown, but they keep doing it in Chicago and New York. There's actually been rulings. Supreme Court's ruled repeatedly, actually, the last few years properly that it's an absolute individual right. So the point is that this is one of the greatest civil rights or human rights movements out there, is that people go out and wear guns and go to rallies. We were at Bilderberg and people had side holstered guns and they weren't provocateurs. And it really, you know, sent the message across that, hey, you got guns. You know, hired police that are here guarding the criminal Bilderbergs. We got guns too. We're free people. We're on par with you. And by the way, it isn't just our right. It's your right too, officers. That's how you can carry a gun because you're designated as a citizen arrest specially trained person, as we just talked about. But this is one of the biggest issues where you demonstrate a right, you exercise the right publicly, and then the illusion that guns are illegal and guns are bad dissipates that Hollywood's put out. And this is the equivalent of holy water to a vampire, or a giant crucifix right in Count Dracula's face. And so hundreds of people that I've seen on YouTube videos, I haven't seen this one, have been arrested. But in the last few years, the cops have had memos. It's been explained to them, hey, you can't do this. People have been shot in stores who were legally carrying. I've seen one of those videos. So it is dangerous, but not as dangerous as it was a few years ago. A few years ago, it didn't matter if it was Vermont or Arizona, where total gun culture, even more than Texas, they would still harass you, detain you, arrest you. But now, because of people hitting the barbed wire like that and politically standing up for all of us, now people are like, you can have a gun openly. I got to tell you, the first people I've seen do this in the last decade, it was the new Black Panther Party. And even though I didn't agree with what the leader of it said, a quite racist fellow, he marched in Houston with a bunch of his guys with 12 gauges. In fact, you might be able to find the file footage of that. And all over Texas, people are like, you can have guns open. You can have them out in the open.
Making it known.
Well, absolutely. Listen, we've gotten to the point where when I was a teenager, we still had rifles in our pickup trucks. And it was, I mean, even in Dallas, people had rifles in their pickup trucks. But it got to the point where the cops would pull you over and harass you.
Right.
Now now those rifles are coming back. People are like, okay, go ahead and harass me. And then I'm going to file complaints on you. Go ahead and arrest me. You're going to get a civil rights lawsuit and lose. We're winning. This is an area where it shows when we take action, we have nothing but victory after victory. Okay, now I've done the first three or four long-winded here. I'm going to try to give 60-second answers to each additional one.
Good luck.
These are great questions, though. That's why. They're just amazing.
All right. Well, there is one last thing, though. How does that play into the direction for the freedom movement?
He's talking about part of it. You know, Ron Paul taking a hit. Ron Paul didn't win. Ron Paul's trying to get more delegates to have a say at the Republican convention. Rand's planned politics, which I understand. I don't really agree with it. Working with Romney. And that just shows the people are exercising our rights. If you don't exercise them, you lose them. I mean, it's a big victory.
Yeah. This one comes to you from Bob. He says, don't you ever get overwhelmed by all the information you need to deliver? So obviously you said yourself, the Indiana legislation, you haven't gotten to touch on.
What was happening right before you came in here?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us.
Chaos.
I had like 10 people trying to talk to me and,
One minute.
And all of this was insane. I mean, it was just.
Well, Bob suggests, he says that I think you should use your existing equipment to have like three shows daily, say the Aaron Dyke Show, the Paul Watson Show, etc. Believe it or not, the news and the truth, there are addicts out there who want to hear it. So that's just his contribution.
What we're doing is we have Paul Watson, we have Aaron Dykes, we have Darren McBrain, and fruit flies that infest the office because we don't throw away the garbage. Anyways, this thing's living here year round.
Yeah, hey, that's on the DL there, Al.
Whatever. That's why we started the nightly news, is so we can build more shows around that down the road. That's why I do it two or three nights a week, or even though I'm not hosting the show Wednesday night, you know, it's Tuesday, we're taping this, I'll be on the show with this.
Right.
So we're getting it to the point where we won't just have 5 nights a week, 7 o'clock, a news show. We're going to have other shows.
Awesome.
I have a tendency to bite off more than I can chew, like starting that gun show, which I do still plan to do with the Steiners, just that it's overwhelming.
Right.
I launched the social network finally. I'm planning to launch a monthly newspaper. But, folks,
finally,
Aaron's going to, he's been working for 3-4 days. He's behind the camera right now on a big piece we're putting out on the nature of reality. I mean, we cannot do more shows at this point.
We're working on it, though.
We had to do a hiatus last week from the nightly news because of this.
For that reporter contest.
And then she's hounding me to do these question and answers.
Come on, Alex, let's get to it. All right, so this guy, this is actually bringing in a Planet InfoWars user in terms of his article that he published. He says, I just posted an article on Planet InfoWars about the Louisiana owners of property that are trying to be taken by the government for an endangered frog.
Yes.
That may or may not be living there. What should you do about this type of government control spreading Agenda 21 wherever they want?
Well, the fraudsters at the UN admit, because their emails got leaked and other issues, that their fraud of global warming is over. They're still keeping the carbon taxes, but everybody knows it's a fraud. And they are abandoning that.
Oh, I just exhaled. How much do I owe you?
a lot. Little plants are going to breathe that. And so now what's happening is they're shifting back to the ice caps have melted, which, by the way, they're getting bigger. But they know the public doesn't look at that. You got to pay us more money or the polar bears are going to die. And here in Austin, they took, over the years, more than 50,000 acres from farmers outside town back in the mid-90s. 15,000 acres here, a couple thousand there. It was over 50,000 total. They would not let them build on it. They'd do eminent domain, take it, pay them pennies on the dollar, not for the development rights, but for less than what they bought it for previously, decades before in some cases. Some cases it was ranches that have been in the family over 100 years. I went and interviewed some of them. And then they would turn around, and then the environmental groups that control the city, they're not really environmental groups, they're mafias, would take the restrictions off. Oh, the cave bug isn't endangered. Oh, the warbler isn't endangered. Oh, the salamander isn't endangered in this area now. Oh, and this bank set up by the former mayor, it's going to broker it all now. And they build malls, shopping centers, luxury homes, golf courses. Mm-hmm. And they're just building on all of it, almost all of it. It's totally sick. It's totally evil. And yeah, I have seen, it's all over the country. Cave bugs, frogs, salamanders. They've caught the federal government planting birds that aren't even endangered, period, worldwide, but just in one region.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go plant them there so they can then come in and selectively, and it's always the big developers that are behind it. They're the ones, and Goldman Sachs funding. We go to these smart growth conferences all the time. And when you get there, it is the banksters. It is the Goldman Sachs people. We've done newscast on it, where they're the ones running the whole event. And with the people in the crowd, sent there from the cities and counties and realtors, they know it's a fraud too, most of them. I mean, they're there as criminals, as operatives within the system to just take property. And they know it. I mean, I went to a smart growth conference back in the late 90s. And I was like, you're taking land. This is a scam. And when my camera's off, they'd go, you better effing believe it is, punk. We're taking over. I mean, these are just criminals. They know full well what they're doing. Not like they're like little loving liberal idiots or something. But they send out teenagers to your door and college students to say, can you give me $20 for this group or that group? It's for the earth. And you know, you go, give them, oh, it's for the earth. They use that to fund their operation to politically take over your city. Then they rob you once they get in control.
Sounds like another documentary in the works.
More work.
You're welcome, Alex. It never stops.
And then I'm burnt out like this, babbling like a chimpanzee.
Okay, this one is actually one of my favorite questions. It says communication. It's always been the most important thing in any war, the ability to communicate. Now that we are almost all on the digital equipment, cell phones, IP phones, digital, whatever, very few people have landlines. And what are the consequences and perhaps solutions to linking patriots better in the event of a purposeful system shutdown? I mean, we all know about the electromagnetic shocks that could essentially wipe out computers and your car. I mean, things like that. So it's a great question from Colin.
It is a great question. I just doodle when I'm thinking. If I don't doodle, I'll interrupt you.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad that you did. I'm glad you did that.
Like a spruce tree. And there's like a lake in the distance.
We'll say abstract. Absolutely.
And some snow capped mountains.
Okay, back to the question.
Anyways, the
communication. What to do? I mean, if everything in here, electricity, was no longer an option, I mean, what would you do?
It's good to have things like CBs and things, but the police are now going under a unified, federalized system so that everything is basically scrambled and we can't listen to it. Ham radio is good if people get into that to be able to communicate, if the globalists shut down the internet or start curtailing it. It's also important to have your own old-fashioned printing presses. That's what we've done with the Obama dictator contest and Joker contest to show the power of just going out and hanging up good old-fashioned, you know, papers,
right,
in public commons and areas. But to try to get the general public back into some type of analog or radio system,
yeah,
is not really feasible. It's better to try to educate people now before something like this takes place so the globalists don't feel confident enough to go to that. Instead of digging in, we should go and take over or take the country back or expose the enemy to such an extent that they can't competently go to this dark system, this Berlin Wall of control. Now, it is good, like I said, to have ham radio if you know how to use it. People want to get into that.
Got to have a call sign, though.
Call sign, sure. You don't have to get a license. They say you do, but you know, whatever. They're a bunch of criminals. That's going on. You know, like I said, long range, short range CBs, things like that. But really, it's best just to get to know people in your area.
Yeah.
And have a backup in case things do collapse. I'd say 80% fight the New World Order. Try to defeat them ahead of time. Best defense is a good offense. 20% dig in as a backup. Storable food, firearms, gold, silver, communications. But just to buy a bunch of communications, yeah, I got a big ham radio out there. I'm going to talk to people. You better get on it now. I mean, we're kind of behind the learning curve here for most people.
So make friends, Colin. You heard that? Get out. Why are you putting the promotion of the cost-effective? This is coming to you from Pythagoras. Why are you putting the promotion of the cost-effective AE-911 truth on the back burner and championing the expensive, inefficient softcore Ron Paul campaign? This is his words, not mine. If AE-911 truth doesn't become a household name, doesn't start to wake people up, nothing we do can. I think that they're trying to get at the fact that...
No, I know what they're talking about.
Okay.
Look, I'm the guy that started the 9/11 truth movement.
Right.
I'm the guy that said it 6 months before, 2 months before. The person that said they'll blow up the World Trade Centers and blame it on bin Laden, you know, July 25th of 2001. I'm the guy that has had Richard Gage on probably 30 times, and who's had all these other people on. I got Jesse Ventura to go public on my show, Willie Nelson. And there is a hardcore group around Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. I sell their videos. I have them on, who call and email and are just constantly, get them on. You've done nothing. And I think that has the opposite effect where, well, number one, 9/11 Truth is not just Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Right.
They're great people. But people are trying to tell, the preacher how to sing in the choir. So, I get these questions constantly. You go set up an Architects and Engineers for Truth thing on the website. You go cover it. You go get into it. I mean, I talk about 9/11 Truth almost every day on the radio. I've made 4 films on it. I put Luke Radowski and his great activism on the map and got support for him up front. And it's not a pet peeve. It's just, it's an irritant when people say, why have you put this on the back burner? Instead, you're promoting Ron Paul. Ron Paul is about getting the general public awake to the New World Order. And I'm not just promoting Ron Paul. I promote Ron Paul maybe a couple times a week. So again, if you look at my radio show today, it was Billy Corrigan talking about the New World Order. Smashing Pumpkins, that reaches all his fans and people. I had Jesse Ventura back on. I had TSA whistleblowers on, exposing that. I'm always facing the next phase. People say, well, did you thumbprint to get a driver's license? Yes, I got arrested 14 years ago protesting it. I was unable to stop that, so I went ahead and got the driver's license and did it. It's not about me getting out of thumbprinting myself. It's about exposing the biometrics in the cashless society, you see. And so I've done the 9/11 truth. I still cover it. I get into it constantly.
Can't live in the past, though. I mean, you have to keep moving forward. There's other things that face us.
We're dealing with other false flags, like them trying to get planes shot down over Syria right now. Right. Or a new Oklahoma City to be blamed on domestic groups. Or how they're using Al-Qaeda against these other countries. I know Salente is on and ready to go.
Do you want to wrap this up?
We'll just real fast. Give me the last ones here.
Alex, what do you think about the fact that all but one of our presidents are related to the royal family and the Queen of England? Also, do you believe the royal family and the Sinclairs are the leaders of the New World Order? This is from Austin.
I don't know about the Sinclairs, but certainly the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas. That's the Transylvanian family that became German royalty and then became British royalty that run it. They pretty much are German and French because they intermarried so much. But the point is, they're very close to the top of the pyramid. I mean, their wealth is secret. And then they have all these TV productions about how they have nothing and live off welfare. It's all a front. The ultra elites like the Rothschilds and the Queen, they always act like they have no power. That's their PR. That's their cover story. And there's been reports where the Rothschilds have sued people who say they're the puppet masters that really own all these oligarchs. And then it came out in court. They did. So that's going on. And that's basically my answer to that.
Hillary being a felon, fined $300K for violation of the Logan Act. If Obama appointed her as Secretary of State, if that's criminal, I think it's enough to impeach and undo some of his laws. What's your opinion, Al?
They just don't enforce the Logan Act anymore. And that fine was in the mid-90s. So But certainly we should impeach Obama. We should impeach any tyrant and reverse what they've done. And we're getting close with Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
What's the last one?
Well, actually, this is not from the group, but it was interesting enough for me to want to bring it up. There's a penny that someone sent in with a Mason symbol.
Hammered into it.
And the guy that sent it in said he just wants you to tell him about it, if you know anything about why it would be on a penny or any sort of...
I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
I'm sure he could go online and find out why the Masons would hammer the symbol of Masons into a penny, but I personally have no idea. Perhaps you can look into that. Like I said, next time...
We can do a recap.
Yep. Christy, great job. PlanetInfoWars.com. And you're watching InfoWars Nightly News. We taped this Tuesday. You're watching it on Wednesday. And Aaron, who's behind the camera right now, is hosting the news this evening. So let's come back to Aaron Dykes and InfoWars Nightly News. Hey, Kill Granny. We'll get some money. And playing on the red theme, I got my Tangy Tangerine, Beyond Tangy Tangerine, InfoWarsTeam.com. I'm not doing real product placement. They're like, hey, there's cool filters on this camera. Let's do the Rogue one where everything's red but everything else black and white. And I said, well, what's red here? Okay, this. And then we've got the Beyond Tangy Tangerine right there. I'll come around on the side of the table.
Awesome.
All right, here we go.
Thanks.
And again, we're setting up some little mini studios around the office as well. Now, come on in here, Lewis. Lewis is also one of the moderators. And so in the future, we're going to have this a little more high-tech for you. But it's important just to turn these videos out. What's up next here?
All right. So this is from Catherine. She says, I'm a U.S. expat living in Canada and will be crossing the border into the U.S. this summer. Should I be worried about problems at the border if I'm constantly posting your videos, things about Ron Paul, Agenda 21, Bilderbergers, Endgame? I plan to show my Canadian citizenship instead of my U.S. passport. Good idea? Bad idea?
Well, you're not really a real expat, I think in the technical sense, if you're just living somewhere else. Yeah, you have to renounce your citizenship. So I don't think you've renounced your citizenship if you've still got your U.S. passport. Number one, you haven't done anything wrong. And if they give you trouble for your political views, that means they're secret police. Generally, that type of stuff's not in the database yet, though they would like it to be. And they treat everybody like crap coming in. The TSA treats you bad. This is about training you that you're a slave. But the fact that you are scared of them retaliating against you shows that their demonization program, their chilling effect program to make you scared is working. So I think the answer is don't be scared of them. Be scared of not continuing to take action. But no, I don't think you're going to have a problem.
Nice. Okay. Well, the next question we have is from JD Info Warrior, and he says, will the banks be allowed to fail and hit rock bottom, or will the U.S. government and its crusade to save these abominations take the only savings worth left in the American people's hand?
Well, that is the plan. I mean, Bernanke is now talking about QE3 that we thought would come earlier this year. But he's like, oh, I really don't want to do QE3, which will further devalue the currency, but I'll do it if you really want me to. If banks continue to fail, you got big six mega banks that own the private Federal Reserve that are pretty much foreign owned. They are busy imploding the European economy and our economy to consolidate it. Just like banks always famously try to take the farm when there's like one payment left.
Right.
Using technicalities. And so that's what's going on here. Banks, the big mega banks, not your local bank. Your local bank is actually performing a service, but it's engaged in fractional reserve banking as well. For every dollar on deposit, they loan out 10. So it's all just numbers in a machine. It's fractional reserve banking or money changing. You can debate whether that system's good or not. It always ends up getting abused, probably bad. But we know it's bad when six mega banks themselves get the lion's share of government bailouts at 0% interest, then leverage it out 10 to 1, and charge you 25-30% interest on it. And so these are the guys that are trying to wreck our economy so they can pose as heroes and salvage it. But by salvaging it, it's in the old sense of your ship wrecks on the coast, and under old common law, that means anybody who lives there locally could cut your ship up and basically rob it. In fact, look up the wreckers in history. They would put up fake lighthouses and have ships wreck and then loot them. But that's basically what's happening there. Bottom line, this globalist system of inflation helps the ultra-rich, hurts the working class and middle class. So it's another form of hidden taxation brought to you by the New World Order.
All right, good education here. Macropode asked you, I'm wondering, what would you say to Obama if you had the chance to talk to him today?
I would tell Obama that I know that he basically just reads off a teleprompter and that he's just a Harvard lawyer and that I understand he's a puppet. And those aren't meant as insults. I would say I understand that you were picked and selective because you're pliable, you're well-spoken, and you're meant to be a front. But you're signing on to eugenics, you're signing on to totally wicked world government, and you need to understand that the final equation, you will be judged for what you're doing, if not in this life, in the next plane of existence. And I would challenge him, if he had any humanity left, to not be part of this New World Order system. I mean, I'd tell him like they live. I can see. And I see you. I mean, what does it mean to go to these big dinners? I would say to him, I bet when you were climbing the social ladder as a front, as a foundation front, that you wanted to attain success and you wanted the gold. Now you're the president. Now you see that it's all just a bunch of bull. A lot of people, when they actually do finally get power, realize, well, this is no big deal. There isn't some magic cloud nine you get to where everything gets great. And so I tell him, be like JFK, actually try to do things, and even if you get killed in the process, so what? At least you've got some humanity. But somebody like Obama, I mean, they vetted him up one side and down the other. I might even hold my breath. Unless it was in public. And then as a prop, because that's all Obama is, as a prop, I would say things to him to then get people out there to actually ask themselves that question. But I think Obama's a dead end.
Well, Weedtastic asks you, Alex, will you protest at the Occupy Kimball Castle? Have you heard of it? It's a top 100 Illuminati banksters meeting for the Satanic ceremony in Colorado, supposedly June 21st.
You know, people once told me about Bohemian Grove like 17 years ago. I didn't believe in it. Mm-hmm. So will you look into that for me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think I've heard of that castle, but I don't know about that stuff. So I know the globalists have got lots of other meeting places and weirdness they engage in, not just Bilderberg.
Patrick asks, Alex, I really like it when you show the lighter side of the world, such as its infinite beauty and the good that people do. Could you maybe dedicate a show to this idea? Or maybe do more videos of this. I think people would appreciate this and not constant doom and gloom.
I have had a long-term idea, but I'm always so caught up just in all the other stuff we're doing, to really talk about the beauty of the universe. It's like an open poem to humanity and the universe. Instead of just saying, look at the detail of the eye, or look at a beautiful planet we're on, going through space and the stars and the sunrise and sunset, little fish in a pond swimming around. I mean, that's an ode to the beauty of the planet and all that's good, but to really, just for months, mark down all the good things that are out there. Maybe we should create a group that is the beauty of the universe, where people could talk about what they think's best in the world, that, of course, the globalists wage war against eternally. I mean, it's like they're the devil. I hadn't seen it since I was a teenager, and I bought it, so I could watch it on the treadmill, the DVD of, that movie Ridley Scott put out with Tom Cruise, Legend. And it's like, you know, the goblins want to kill a unicorn. You're like, oh, that's silly. But all of that's an archetype. That's what the globalists are doing with their GMO and everything. They really do like wrecking things that are innocent and good. Look at the school system. They want to wreck innocence and sell it as if it's cool and fun and great. So, yes, we should have a group about beauty in the universe.
Something to fight for.
Yeah, exactly. What's good? You know, yes, let's do that.
Cool. All right, absolutely.
Because I do want to start maybe even having a news segment on the radio or TV once a week where we talk about what's good in the world or people that did the right thing and talk about military that said no to vaccines or parents that said no or people that, you know, steadfastly exposed a corrupt politician who ended up going to jail. Because a lot of what's good in the world is standing up against these bad people.
Yeah, feeling like you're not alone when you stand up. Okay, Javier says, hi, Alex. I wonder if you have heard of Dr. Scott McQuaid, if he's credible. He's the founder of the Inner Circle.
No, haven't heard of that.
Okay, I'll look into that for you then. Okay, user Rev says, Obama is passing another executive order soon. Did you look into them at all? They're dated May 21st in 2012. He wants to transfer some quadrants of the ocean now under U.S. control directly to the United Nations. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Yes, I saw that and a couple days ago, and it got lost in the mix, and I should absolutely cover that tonight on the Nightly News.
There you go. All right. Rev, you're going to be you're bringing it to the news.
I've got to get on that. In fact, I've got to go shoot the news right now, right after this, where you guys go type in new executive order,
yes.
Obama new executive order, law of the sea. I know that the UN and Bilderberg are particularly mad they can't get everything signed over to the UN as a way to tax the nation states. And they've had Trent Lott out pushing in everybody. They want law of the sea because that's a big taxing mechanism. They want carbon taxes, not for the environment, but to be absolutely able to dominate the globe. That's a global government. If 75% of the world is salt, about a percentage and a half is fresh, that's 76.5%, not even counting underground aquifers. They're saying the UN's going to run all our major rivers. Anything that touches an ocean or a gulf, a sea, it's a huge global power grab. Congress has announced they want to sign over the internet to the UN. And again, the UN is just run by big megabanks. Only the Security Council has power on all those nations voting and all that does nothing. Even if you wanted other nations to be able to vote on what you were doing, the big banks could go lobby them to get them to vote the way they want because they're all so poor and the globalists have kept them that way. But here, it's the G8 inside the National Security Council, inside the UN Security Council that totally controls it. So it was created by the Rockefellers in 45 to transfer our sovereignty into piecemeal by treaty. Big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. And I saw that he was talking about an executive order 2 days ago to do it. But if that's the case, territorial waters, I knew they were trying to hand stuff over to Russia off Alaska. My God, is there no end to this?
He's the president. He's passed the most executive orders of any president.
And he promised not to. He promised not to hire lobbyists, hired the most, promised to be
right.
The most transparent, the most untransparent,
right.
Promised to not take banker money, took the most.
Just propagated ideas.
Well, when you saw all of Hollywood and TV get behind him and say he might be Jesus and the one and all this, I mean, come on, folks. These are the people that sell you all this crud. When the whole system gets behind somebody, look out.
Yeah. Constitutional World Order user writes, at what point do we decide that a new system needs to be installed? Will we continue to protest a system that doesn't adhere to our cries? Or do we resort to violence against the system? Or do we build a new idea that no army can stand against, an army of ideas standing together?
We have to agree on what those ideas are first.
Yeah.
But I mean, just the term being used here, constitutional world order.
That's the username.
No, I like that idea. But
cool.
Even before I heard what they had to say, just the idea of constitutional world order. People like Lord Monckton, I'll show you a shot of this right here. People like Lord Monckton, they say we've got to have a world system against the, UN dictatorial world government, and that it would be alliances of nations who agree with each other's ideas forming a global federation. The problem with that is that different subgroups will get together, you'll have intrigue, and you'll end up unifying this just like this is unified. That's the big danger in anything like this. And inside a planetary system, if there are still sovereign nations, if you get a Hitler and he takes over this country and takes over this country and gets to this country, then an emergency, and that's what the globalists did, they got us a League of Nations and then a UN out of world wars. They started. These documents have been declassified and released. We've been covering this. They actually, the whole time, England, the U.S., and others, were funding Hitler in World War I, before that, getting the war started, so that this big guy would rise. He didn't work for him. They just helped get him in place and profiled him and encouraged him that there was going to be a treaty with England that had been signed, that the deputy Führer tried to deliver and then got arrested. And that, there were deals with the U.S. and all this stuff. Hitler had almost done a coup here, working with the Bushes, Prescott Bush. But, I mean, that gets more into complex history. So to get nations into this world government, they created a false dichotomy between a block over here that would attack this block, then this block dominates them, then Bilderberg is created, and you merge these two blocks. You understand how that works? And that's how their Hegelian dialectic and the synthesis worked, is through this program. And so that's why today, and they talk about this in the latest Bilderberg documents we got from 66, they need other threats to keep the world. So they have Al-Qaeda, Al-C-I-A, duh. You know, you have the West over here. Oh, my gosh, Al-Qaeda. Oh, Russia. Russia's going to get us right here. Oh, China. Meanwhile, the globalists are funding all these groups, too. And again, the real thing is they're unifying the planet with a global corporate government against not very good, but against this. You understand? It's full spectrum dominance. They'll play all the different parts off against each other because they're going after the whole. You're like, well, doesn't it make sense? Why are they funding Al-Qaeda if they're fighting them? They have to have Al-Qaeda in an area if they're going to have an excuse to come take it over. Or if they're going to have an excuse to have the TSA come after you within the homeland. Can't draw a good for the United States. Anyways, there it is. All right, so I hope that answers that question. What was his original question?
I don't remember now. At what point do you decide that this new system needs to be taken down and a new one needs to be put up?
So. Well, people, I'm not saying he's saying that, but or she's saying that, but people confuse our constitutional republic is not working, so we need something new. No, we had a revolution by the globalists against our constitutional republic. We're now living in lawless globalism, where these special interests do whatever they want. So we want to restore the Bill of Rights and Constitution, which they hate so much because it's so effective against them. That's the answer. Okay, what else is going on here?
Sin Yugur from the Young Turks has on record spoke out against the bill Obama signed to detain Americans. Is he finally waking up or pulling a Glenn Beck trick?
I forget how you really pronounce his name. You pronounce it wrong. I can't pronounce
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah.
It's like Sink Uger or something. No, I mean, that guy works over there with Al Gore. Al Gore's always wanted tyranny. I really think he's naive. I mean, he left MSNBC because he wouldn't be under their control. So I don't think he's a terrible guy, but he doesn't understand. He'd have a bigger audience not even being on current TV. I'm sure he gets paid money or something. I mean, it has no audience. See, that's why they want to censor the internet now.
Yeah.
Because MSNBC has almost no audience. I mean, my little show is bigger than them. Just in Alexa or Google Analytics. Just my radio show is much bigger than MSNBC.
That's awesome.
Their whole network combined, yeah, but they probably make 50 times the money we do, which is not even our goal, but if we had that money, we could be a lot bigger and effectively challenge them. That's why they know now that they're in trouble, so they're trying to come in with internet censorship and the rest of them. And I don't want to just sit here and say bad things about the Young Turk guy. It's just that, you know, one time I said in a video, I'm bigger than the Young Turks. And he took one YouTube channel and said, no, I'm bigger than you. And he didn't take all of our channels, and he didn't take our web ratings on Alexa. He didn't take XM, the satellites, all that stuff. Where's he looking? If you go to Google Analytics, I don't have it here in front of me, but I'm going to pull up the actual data in my mind. I mean, here's Young Turks, and here's InfoWars. I mean, our total traffic on Google is like this. They're just flatlined down here. It's not even a debate. And then he made a big joke out of it, like I was going, hey, I'm bigger and better than you. No, that's not what it was even about. I was talking about how there's mainstream media that now, just like Time or Newsweek has the Daily Beast, they're trying to act like they're alternative now. And so I'm saying that's what the Young Turks are, is they're just the system trying to take something that is alternative media, they were alternative media, and bringing it in but trying to control it.
Manipulate, yeah.
Exactly. So I was pointing out that this is the establishment trying to take on alternative media colorations. Even though you come from a leftist perspective, you were alternative media. And I was saying, you figured that out, so you left MSNBC, but you jumped right back in to Al Gore trying to talk like the alternative. And again, it's not like I have all the answers either. In fact, it's one of their questions. I shouldn't even have got off into it. But anyways,
And the last question, brought to you by Rembrandt 10. Hi, Alex. I'm 23, living in Ontario, Canada, and I have no job, and I'm feeling vulnerable to the New World Order tactics. My question is it safe to be taking materials that address themselves, being about Catholicism, Freemasonry, from my public library?
Driving down the road is not safe. Everything kills you. What's not safe is that people think they're being watched. And that's why the system has said, yeah, we're watching what you check out. Yeah, we go to Borders and Barnes and Nobles, the government says, and get a list of what you're buying. That's why they always want your info, even if you're paying cash. So we're in that tyranny. I fought all this data mining before it was ubiquitous, before it was in place across the board, because I knew it was criminal and a sign of tyranny. But now that it's all in place and the CIA director says they're watching us and listening to us without warrants, don't let it intimidate you. Let it be information you use to expose the fact that they're lawless and criminal. It's that simple. So don't let these people intimidate you. But yeah, now if you're getting things out of there about Catholicism or about Freemasonry, more and more they want the system digitized so they know what you're reading. But that doesn't mean you need to be scared. All of us need to be reading and researching, and you can try to arrest us all. If we ever get to that point, which we're starting to get to, where people are like, oh my God, I better not visit this website, like Infowars.com, I better not go to the library, they've already won. The answer to this 1984 system is 1776, and what does that mean? If you're scared, you should be out there doing street art to expose these people. You should be starting your own radio show online, your own YouTube videos. The fact that you're afraid, you should go out and protest, because you should be afraid. You should be afraid of not challenging these crooks, because if they do fully get into power, it's over. Okay? It's that simple. And wow, 11 questions. I'm going to go shoot the nightly news. If you guys can find me that particular executive order. I heard he was talking about it. I didn't know. I guess he's already done it, or maybe these haven't been released yet. But try to find out. I can mention that at the end of the nightly news tonight. And I cover that on the radio tomorrow. But this is really good. Awesome. PlanetInfoWars.com. And at least every week, we'll take 10 or 11 questions. And we will answer them here for you. And I think it's also important that after you've uploaded this at PlanetInfoWars.com, make sure we start giving this to Aaron or Jacobson or somebody else. We start posting these on the YouTube channel, too.
Cool. Absolutely.
And they can put a Planet InfoWars bug on there. So folks watching out there, want to ask me questions? Go get a free
membership.
Create your own group. Create your own profile. PlanetInfoWars.com. Thanks a lot, guys.